This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Once upon a time, two men decided if they were making the cut. And then they made the cut. And now JT and Aaron are talking everything from wrestling to pop culture and beyond. Because it's no holds barred. It's a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the kids all know how he came to life one day.
There must be... Place of the Nation, welcome to episode number 11 of No Holds Barred. Our Festivus edition, that is. I am JT. Joining me as always is my homie from the north, Aaron George. Aaron, how are you?
You know how I am.
I know how you are. You're ill.
I've had pneumonia all week.
All week? Actually, you probably had it longer than this week.
About 2 weeks. And it's awful. And you start the show like this, we're going to do the airing of the grievances later.
No, we're going to do it right now, actually. We're going to start with it in a moment. But it's been a while since we've done one of these. And the last handful were all GWE tag teams as we were filling out our ballot, which, by the way, we have to submit. We have like a week to do that, so we're going to get on that.
All that research in a week.
All right, so let's get that ballot in. So we're done talking that. So thank you for everyone who enjoyed listening to those and gave feedback. But tonight we're going back to our normal format, which is three falls, some sudden death listing, and our pre-match and post-match and all that nonsense. But since it is Christmas weekend... Right? You have Christmas up there, right?
Yes, twice a year.
Okay, well, there you go. So that's coming. Well, it is Bizarro World. So that's coming on Tuesday, Christmas. So we thought we'd do our, you know, holiday-themed show here tonight.
We don't have Tuesday, though. That we don't have.
You don't have Tuesday? Okay.
No.
So does Christmas not exist on...
It does, but it's a thing.
Okay.
We call it Flonclaw.
Usenglausen.
Usenglausen. Ooh. Foreshadowing. Go on.
So obviously we're both Seinfeld fans, so we're going to call this our Festivus edition. And normally we start off with our no holds barred moments of the day. But instead, since it's Festivus, we're going to call it the airing of grievances. So you told me you had a good one. Do you want to share?
Yes. Mine is a combination airing of grievances with which almost turned into a feat of strength.
Ooh.
So a real Festivus miracle, if you ask me. So I'm at my chiropractor today. Mm-hmm. Right? So a little bit later. A little bit of foreshadowing. And my wife is wearing – we have our third son is going to be one next week.
Well,
so he's got a birthday coming.
Thank
you. He lived 1 year.
Yep.
We kept him alive. So she's wearing him like on her back. Like she carries him like in a carrier, right?
Right, like a sack.
Yeah, like a sack, like a Santa sack.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman comes up and, without any sort of provocation, starts kissing him and fondling his face.
Oh, that's weird.
So I am incensed. So I go up to her, and in the same voice she was using, I start going, "Om up to boo boo, om up to boo boo." And I reach for, I'm not going to touch her because I know that this is not going to end well, but I put my hands in her face also. And like, I swear to God, if we were living in a different world, I would have kissed her. Like I would have kissed her the way she kissed my son. And it's
you mean a different world, like the one with Sinbad?
Yeah. If Sinbad was there, I would have made out with Sinbad, like all over, and given him a reach around of some kind. Because Sinbad is a wonderful pirate. But like, who is this fucking woman touching my son?
Yeah.
Like what? Like in what world is that okay? Like anywhere else, it's rape.
Right.
Anywhere.
Not babies though. They think it's okay.
Yeah,
and it's well, how old was she?
She was not old enough that I could blame it on senility.
Right.
Like I didn't ask for ID after I had sex with her. I just got a good glimpse. I would say she was under 60.
Okay. Yeah, that's rough.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you can ask. Like, oh, do you mind? You know, like whatever. But don't.
Ask for dogs.
Right.
With dogs. We ask.
Well, because people
say,
don't want to get
bitten.
Can I pet your dog? Well, because they don't want to get bitten. That's your code way of saying, is your dog going to maul me if I touch it?
Yeah, I should teach my son to maul women. Women. I mean, that might backfire later in life if he becomes known as a woman mauler.
But if he gets his cheeks not touched for a couple years.
Yeah, and maybe he'll turn out normal then instead of a fucking victim. Anyway, that was my moment of the day. And like... I swear to God, I would have kissed her if I thought that it wouldn't have involved the police being called. Like, I, because I don't care. And, like, we're also in the chiropractor's office, and I see the chiropractor once a month. So, like, all the women know me. Like, right. I don't want to make a scene in there. But everybody else seems to think it's normal. It's not normal. You don't touch anybody.
No.
It's not.
It's not. You're absolutely justified in your reaction.
Yeah.
Now, if you had a president like Donald Trump, you could have said, I'm going to just grab you, but, you know, but whatever.
But, yeah. And let me just say to you, she was appalled.
Yeah.
Like absolutely appalled at what I did, and I didn't even push it. Like,
was
like,
she ugly? You can say.
I don't know. I like, she was old. You know, like.
Yeah.
It's probably, like when I was lonely as a teenager, like I assumed I would have to pay a homeless person to sleep with me, mm-hmm. and that. I mean, that teenager might have considered having sex with this woman.
Okay, so she was not very good looking.
No.
Would that have changed it for you?
No.
If she was like Eve Torres. I don't know. Maurice?
Well, she has permission to touch me.
But that's the gateway. All right, this is going in a bad direction. All right, so I had my own anger grievance moment tonight. So kind of a longish day. Went to work, and then we had like a team holiday lunch thing. So I went to that, came home, had a phone call for work. And then I have to bribe my kids to get them to come with me to the gym and not like give me a stink. Cause at our gym, they have like a childcare room. And they're fine when they're in there, but like anytime we bring it up that we're going to go, like it's a fucking thing, you know, like, eh, don't wanna go, you know, so I bribe them with some candy and I'm like, all right. So I get them all on board. I get them in the car and we get there and I'm like, I just want an hour to go work out, go play in the room. And this is my hour to watch my shows. You know what I mean? So, like, and right now I'm on. So, I had done Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Maniac, and now I'm doing the Marvel shows on Netflix. So, I've watched Daredevil season one, Jessica Jones season one, and I'm now in Luke Cage. And.
Wait, you didn't do Daredevil season two?
I'm going in the order I was told to go in.
Okay, I thought Daredevil season two was next.
No, I was told Luke Cage is next, story wise.
All right.
So. Look, I'm just following what I'm told, okay? By some very
reputable
nerds.
Sorry, I didn't mean to break.
Some very reputable
gentlemen.
ladies can be nerds too. So I got some intel, and I'm told. So anyway, I'm excited. I'm interested. I'm into the story. So I'm about. I do about an hour on the elliptical. So I'm about 40 minutes in, and it's the one where Luke, like, it's the backstory one. So like, I just want to kind of find out. It's like the big moment. And I see the fucking girl from the childcare room standing out there, like standing next to me. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So I pause the show, take my earbuds out. And she's like, yeah, so-and-so said Alex is in the bathroom and there's poop everywhere. So I'm like, oh, God. So I'm just like, fuck. So I take my time going. And I'm picturing like shit on the walls. You know, like the way she explained it was like a dire situation.
Yeah.
So I go in there. And they're not allowed, even when they were babies, like, they're not allowed to change poop diaper. Like, they can do just about everything else, but they don't do poop. So, the
Are
girl standing there.
Are they allowed to change pee diapers?
Huh? Yeah, well, no, they would just let him sit in the pee.
Oh, okay.
I guess all, like, urine too, whatever, if he pissed his pants, they wouldn't clean it up. So, yes, any evacuation of any right. sort. So, I walk in the bathroom, and he's standing there. She's, like, kind of guarding the door, and I go in. And he's standing there, pants down, shit in his underwear, on his leg, and in his hand. So now I got to clean them all up. I got to rinse his underwear out in the sink, wrap them up. And then I didn't even get to go. Like, so I only got like 2/3 of my workout in. I didn't get to watch the rest of the episode. And I had to clean up a bunch of shit. So that's my airing of my grievance.
Well, I mean.
Fucking kids.
They're the worst, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a child care at my gym. I have to leave them here with their mother.
Yeah, so I used to go to Planet Fitness, which was the same thing. And it was actually more convenient because it's literally like 6 minutes down the road.
Right.
And there's more machines and shit. Like, it's just a little bit better. Like, I like the Y. We go to the YMCA, so like, which is nice because they get the pool and the basketball court. Like, there's other stuff to do, so it's a trade-off. It's
do
also
you go
like,
there when you feel down?
It's also like quadruple the price. So
yeah.
Whatever.
But they have everything there
yeah.
for your men to enjoy.
So anyway, point being, we were doing that. And then when we had our second, it was getting more tougher for us to like fit it in. And we're like, well, if we go to the Y, then we can just take them. And it's nice. except when they're assholes about it.
So there's a girl I'm working with, and like she hates everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's very like she's a very LGBTQ like rights proponent, which is fine, right?
Yep.
But that's just something she's always talking about it, which again is fine. So one day I'm in the car and I'm driving the truck, and we're going through songs, and every song I put on, she's pissed. She's like, no. And so finally the YMCA starts, right? Because I have it on my thing. And she's like, oh, okay, right? And I go, well, of course, because the gays are singing it, right? To which she replies, like, oh, it's not everyone has to be gay, you know? Like, in this very, like, know-it-all tone.
Right.
But it's the goddamn Village People.
Right, they are known.
And it's like, have you not heard their songs? They're singing about their gym. They're singing about going to the Navy. They're singing about moving to San Francisco. Right. They're macho men with their biceps and mustaches. Like of all, like, you're such an activist. These are the icons.
Right. How did she feel when you put Baby It's Cold Outside on?
Oh, yeah, she left the car.
Okay. We'll talk more about that. All right, why don't we get to our first fall? It's our only wrestling fall of the night, and we're going to be talking about a brand new project launching. Of course, like we mentioned, we always talk about the GWE stuff. We're going to be putting those in the rearview mirror for a bit. Ballots are due December 31st, so you got 11 days left to get those ballots in on that. And then kicking off right after the new year on our resurrected message board at bigelow34.proboards.com. If you join up there, you can take part in this project, which will solely be housed there. And that is called The Year That Was, and we're starting with the year 1996. So what this entails is there is a...
AD.
There is a forum on the board specifically for this project. And then there's like a rules thread, and then a nomination thread, and then there's a kind of a little board for each month. So what we're doing is we're soliciting nominations of kind of must-see matches, both on the very good end and then on the very bad end. And we have a list of categories that at the end of this thing we'll kind of fill out. Like, I think we have, like, you know, best wrestler, best storylines, best month, best hair. You know, like, we have everything. And then we have worst as well. And the idea is, as you know, we curate the list. So for January 96, we have a bunch of stuff, right? We have the January 96 watch list. And it kind of starts at the beginning of the year. So we start with the Raw Bowl. And then we have to match with some Nitro and this and that. And the idea is that you would watch all the stuff on the list. And then in each respective thread, you'd kind of talk about it. And we'd share your thoughts as we go. So it's kind of a group project. Everyone's invited to do it. It's going to be a lot of wrestling watching, but it's not like super heavy lifts, because you're not watching like full shows. It's just matches from the show or promos or segments from these shows. And it's going to be mainly North America, but we're also going to, you know, dip into some Japan, Mexico, Europe, whatever else comes up.
Australia.
Kind of the very top end stuff. No, Australia is just all divas wrestling, right?
Yeah. And koalas. And wallabies!
So that's the gist of the project. It's really just meant to be conversational, group interaction. And not much more. And then some ranking at the end. So we hope everyone will participate. We have a cool list for January so far. I know, Aaron, you've kind of started working your way through it. I'm going to be starting soon, over the next week or so. And I'd like to see some conversation in there. You can create an account, or you can just come in as a guest, however you want to do it. Bigelow34.proboards.com. Just look for The Year That Was forum. I've been linking it on social media as well. But 96 is a cool year. Like, all right, let's talk about the project, and let's talk about why we picked 96.
Sure. I mean, like, so far, like, and just to give you guys some context about how long it takes, like, when we first did the nominations, there was probably about 20 things listed. And I mean, I burned through those in about 2.5 hours. Like, I had nothing to do one night, I burned through them. So
right.
It doesn't take, it's not going to eat up your life, this project. Like,
no.
It's not like you're an idiot and decided to watch every pay-per-view year from 85 to current day.
Right.
You know, it's not like you're an idiot like that. No, but it's a lot of fun so far, and even the bad stuff is fun. And what I'm liking is if you go into the boards too – and by the way, if you're not on the boards already, I mean, besides this project, there's a lot of fun conversation going mm-hmm. down about a multitude of topics. Yeah. And what's great about it too is it's easy to follow.
Yes.
Like, that's one of the things, like, in our
– behind, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you're someone who's listening and you're in our Facebook chat, like, I mean, if you miss a conversation, like an hour goes by, that conversation's done, right?
Right.
And this way, like, you can really continue and get in depth about things. So I think that's a lot of fun to begin with. But yeah, like, I mean, like, if you look on it, like, we haven't really started yet. We kind of looked at some nominations and watched a couple things. So we're really starting in earnest in January. But already, like, if you go on the board, you'll see a bunch of different categories. So the way it works is, like, you'll look at it and you'll see there's a whole category on the Raw Bowl and how awful it was and how terrible we thought the commentary was and how some of these guys are in line for worst dressed and how just what a bad idea it was. And then there's also, like, categories like talking about who, like, the best character is so far and stuff like that. And I think there's something really interesting, too, about contrasting and comparing not only WWF, because, I mean, I think I don't want to say – I don't want to generalize, but I think a lot of people come to wrestling through WWF.
Right.
And WCW, not that it's not important, because obviously it is, but it becomes a secondary thing. So I think it's also a really interesting way to kind of maybe get into some stuff that you've missed.
No, I agree. And 96 is such a cool year. I've been pretty vocal about this, whether it's me and Scott talking about it or even in the past. I think it was Stephen Graham. We had done like a Pro Wrestling Super Show. One of the first ones he did was on the year 96. We went through the year. And it's such an interesting year on many levels. It's like the year WCW makes the leap, right? Like, yeah. 97 is kind of the year they blow up, but 96 is the year they really make the leap. And it's almost like a split year because you have the old vestiges of the 94 to 96 era. WCW with Hogan and the Horsemen and the Dungeon of Doom, yeah, Dungeon of Doom and the Four Horsemen, baby. And the Giants come in. So, like, there's a lot of cool stuff. And then the Outsiders show up, and it's like a whole – the second half of the year is completely different. And you're starting to get the influx of the Lucha, you know, Luchadors, the guys from Japan, Benoit Malenko, Eddie. Like, those guys are all kind of making their name. So it's a really cool year. Nitro goes to 2 hours halfway through. They're really kind of figuring out what they're going to be. And then WWF is a really cool year because 95 is such a doldrum year. And you can see 96 is like the shedding. There's so much fleshing out of the old and reshuffling and inserting new people to refreshen up the card. So, like, guys like, you know, Sean, Bulldog, Owen, like guys like that were kind of mid-card, upper mid-card, all are a sudden main eventers. And then they're buoyed by all the imports from WCW that were kind of pushed out by the Hogan guys. So it's like Vader, Dustin Rhodes, Austin, Pillman, Mero, you know, like even Triple H.
Foley.
Like all those, yeah, Foley. All these guys that were, you know, left behind all of a sudden all show up at once. And it's like, whoa, it's like all of a sudden we have this promotion that for all this time was just kind of, you know, running on diesel power, but also just lacked a certain kind of athlete, or at least the focus on a certain kind of athlete. And I think it ties into, I think JR comes into power more in 96.
Right.
And so you can start to see that too a little bit. And that, you know, as far as like less gimmicky, like, yeah, you mentioned stuff like Teal Hopper, but that's really like low end.
When you
look toward the top of the card, it's a lot less gimmicky. It's a lot more, they start to mix in more of the realism that would kind of permeate the Attitude Era. And then you see some of the Attitude vestiges as well throughout. So it's a really cool year to watch on the mainstream. And then I think ECW, I'm not really as in-depth, but I think it's one of their best years too, from everything I've heard, right? I think it's kind of Raven and Dreamer, like all that kind of stuff, I think. Or is that 95? I forget what year was big for them. I think it's 96.
I think you're right. I think it's 96, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's also a really interesting year to watch the WWF's reaction to WCW. And I mean, it's really terrible at the beginning of the year. Like that Billionaire Ted stuff, which is right now, like I said, like I've kind of watched through a lot of the January stuff. And that Billionaire Ted stuff is just so fucking pathetic. Like it's poorly written, it's poorly acted, and then it just gets to a point where like it's downright petty and lame.
Right. And then like, he gets real mean toward WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and this is his first reaction. So this is probably Vince, pure Vince.
Right.
Right. Like, it's not like anybody's, I mean, I could be wrong. I'm talking out of my ass. Right. But like a lot of times the first thing you see as a reaction is probably the person in charge. Right. And while it gets tempered later by literally changing the style and kind of blurring some lines and whatnot, and really start setting the stage for what we see in 97. like that speech Vince gives where he's like, good guys and bad guys in 97, you start to see it kind of start taking shape in 96, which I think is fascinating. Like towards the end of the year with Sid and Austin. And I remember at the time too, they started doing like on the house show circuits, like the tough in Montreal, was the toughest man in Montreal. Yep. And it'd be two heels fighting, you know, like these are things, these were things that you'd never saw before. And so the reaction as we go forward is also really interesting too.
And they're very much, they're caught in between too. Cause like they're still running the four taped. They still have Superstar syndicated for a lot of the year, but then they're trying to compete and do different things. But when you get to that fourth Raw of the cycle before the pay-per-view, it still feels so stale. And then 97 is like an interesting year for WWF because they go live and they really start throwing shit against the wall in 97. Like you'll see guys pop up for like a Raw that like out of nowhere, you know, you can just tell they're trying anything they can, but the seeds are sown in 96. And the other fun thing for 96 is watching the rise of Austin from King of the Ring on and how they use him and deploy him. I'm hoping we can track down like a lot of his stuff. Like he has some fun stuff like on Superstars and shit. Like I'm hoping we can find some of that 96 Superstars. Because I think that's almost an era that's been lost in time. Like, especially when they switched to USA and out of syndication. Right. But he would be on there a lot. And even from like Shotgun when like Pillman was doing commentary, like I'm hoping we can find some of that stuff. But yes, the shift as the year goes on is very, very interesting into the end of the year. And plus we get a bunch of great Shawn matches as well.
His main event run is really great.
Right.
Like, especially when, because, like, I started doing the pay-per-view watches a couple years ago, and I'm still doing them like a fucking moron. But what I just, like, his run of main event pay-per-view matches is really quite stellar. Like, I mean, I know that, like, opinions kind of split on that Iron Man, but once you get past that, like, the Diesel match at mm-hmm. Good Friends, Better Enemy is phenomenal. His matches with Bulldog are really solid. The match with Vader is great. The match with Mankind is, I think, the best match of that year. I think the match with Sid is great. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's really quite an impressive run, considering like he was having great matches not only with like great wrestlers, but guys that weren't considered great workers too. Right. So, I mean, like I don't think we got another main event run like that until maybe
Austin.
AJ Styles.
Well, '01 Austin? So. No.
No, well, '01. I mean. Because the problem is you got those – you got that two-man power trip stuff, which is not good start. Then you got the triple threat, which is good. Then he's in the tag match, which is fine. The match with Angle, the triple threat with RVD and Angle is great. But, yeah, I think Shawn is a bit more consistent. I think Styles – when Styles is champion, like, is probably the next best one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to think about it, but you're probably pretty accurate. Yeah, and the Bulldog match is interesting too. The King of the Ring one I like a lot, and then International Incident is pretty fun as well.
That is fun.
Man.
Yeah,
and then Sid's arrival and all that stuff. So
yeah, and you also get to see some really. I mean, we talked about Austin, but man, Brian Pillman at the start of that year in WCW is amazing.
Oh yeah, he's really good.
Like
there.
Like as we were kind of looking for things to nominate, I watched that whole Clash, which. I think it's Clash. I forget. It's Clash 30. It's in January or whatever it is. It's the Clash in January. And, like, that's the one where he jumps on Bobby Heenan and Bobby Heenan freaks out.
Yes.
Which is left intact on the network. And then
too good not
to
be.
He comes out and does a promo later. And what's cool about that show, too, is there's the whole sequence of Colonel Robert Parker marrying Sister Sherry.
Yes.
And it's such a good contrast to the Billionaire Ted skits. Because, like, it's legitimately decently funny comedy versus, like, terrible, awful comedy. Like, I don't know who was writing them or what the characters were, but, like, I mean, you could literally tell as you're watching these Robert Palmer. Is his name wrong? No,
he's addicted to love. That's why he's getting married.
Addicted to love, man. It's simply irresistible, man. You could see the performers, everybody in it, having so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dick Slater crying at the wedding, and like it ends in a brawl, and like Booker T and Stevie Ray are clearly busting up, like breaking it up. Like it just looks like they're having so much fun, and I don't know. Discovering that stuff for me has been the best part of it so far.
And
the fact that
yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I was saying there will be some longer stuff in there. Like the Rumble match is going to be on the list. Like the Iron Man will be on the list. You know, so, but for the majority of it, it's going to be quick because those TV matches are never too long on, in that era. So, the majority of the stuff is going to be, you know, it's probably 7 to 12 minutes or something like that. Or, you know, a skit, a promo, something along those lines. It'll be, and we're not, we're really going to work hard. Like, I don't want to just put every pay-per-view match on the list. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be, I think in January we have, like, for example, for the Rumble, we had Ramon Goldust, the Rumble match, and Bret Taker. You know, so, like, the three kind of big matches. And Bret Taker is going to be more for the bad list than the good.
Yeah, it's brutal. And but I will say this, as I went through, because, I mean, like I said, I've watched the year 96. There's a lot of, in WWF pay-per-views anyway, there's a ton of just, like, run-of-the-mill boring matches.
Right.
And those won't be the ones we're focusing on. You don't really, like, you don't really need to, like, watch every 2.5-star match.
No, like you don't need to watch every, like, fucking Body Adonis match.
That's sure. It. Like, kind of want to watch 3.25 and up and then maybe, like, 1 and down.
Right.
Yeah. You know, give yourself, like, a good view of it. Yeah.
Or and, ones and that are, like, or ones that are, like, not agreed upon. Like, there's, like, a lot of split around that Razor-Vader match. A Good Friends, Better Enemies. Like, I like it because they just beat the shit out of each other, but I know others, like, have dumped on it. They think it's boring. So, like, I think stuff like that I'd like to put on there, too, where there's a lot of cross-section of opinion.
I think I'm going to probably be – I'm going to probably disagree when we get to the Bret-Austin match.
Ooh.
Not that I think it's bad. I actually think it's great. I just don't think it's as great as, like – like, I mean, for me – I mean – right, when I was doing the pay-per-view matches, and I can only speak from those WWF pay-per-view matches, my match of the year is Michaels Mankind.
Right.
Like I think it's substantially better than Bret and Austin. Because I remember thinking, like, as I was rewatching it, Bret Austin's going to be a 5-star match, and it didn't. Right. I don't even know if it came close to that for me on rewatch. Yeah, I mean, just looking at my match rankings off the top of my head right now, of the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, of the top 10 matches I have that year, Michaels is in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one, I don't, I, even when
so
I'm
hang on, let me guess the other three. So you got obviously Austin, Bret.
Yeah.
And this is just WWF, right? Pay per view.
Yeah. One of the ones, I'll give you this though. One of the ones that my 10th best match of that year is the Rumble.
Okay.
Don't worry about that one. So there's three other ones.
All right. So one's Bret Austin.
Yeah.
Easy. Taker Diesel?
Yeah.
Did you say yeah?
Yep.
Okay. And Austin Vega?
No.
Okay. Taker Goldust.
Absolutely.
Taker Mankind.
Nope.
Oh.
Close.
Close. Okay. Great radio.
I kind of have it 11.
You have that at 11? Okay.
You're missing my number 9. Not that that helps you at all. But
Warrior Hunter or something?
Oh, man. That'd be number 1. Hey, that's Triple H's best WrestleMania match.
It's definitely up there. Fuck. All right. First half of the year, second half.
First.
Hmm.
Barely.
Okay. The fuck else is... Austin Mero?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's...
King of the Ring?
Yeah, King of the Ring. Because the other one's not very good.
No.
Worst match. Go with worst match. Oof, there's two of them. The two bottom ones.
Three. Warrior Goldust?
Yeah, that's the worst.
Warrior Lawler?
No,
that's
actually
not that bad. Yeah.
It's fine. Like it's kind of a squash.
Are you counting Huckster and Nacho Man?
No, I'm not.
Shit. Yoko Bulldog.
No.
That shitbag 4-way at SummerSlam, the tag team. I hate that.
No, I actually
don't
mind that match. It's fine. It's not that bad.
First or second half of the year?
One of them is in the first half, and the other is in the second half. One of them we just talked about.
Taker Goldust? Bret Undertaker? Huh?
Yeah.
You dropped out. Which one?
Bret Undertaker.
Okay.
And then the other one is from the same show as my top match.
King Henry? Or Jose Cornette?
Jose Cornette, yeah.
All right. Hope everyone enjoyed that trivia contest, impromptu trivia contest.
You won. You picked my brain.
WCW has a lot of fun stuff too, like random shit, like Hogan, like that January February stretch has the infamous. It's got Hogan Flair, but then it's got the two matches of Arn beats Hogan back to back. Like those are pretty famous. It's got Giant versus Flair for the title, and you know when Giant wins finally. So it's like there's a lot of cool stuff. And then it's got all. We'll probably feature a lot of the Horsemen, where they're eating and dining at the table, and Liz is spending Savage's money and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we have all that in '96 as well.
I'm looking forward to '96 because '96 was the first time I ever ordered a WCW pay per view.
Ooh, which one?
Which was Super Brawl.
There you go.
Super Brawl, and then I ordered the Fall Brawl that year too, based on that War Games match. Yeah. But if I remember right, Super Brawl's got a pretty good Savage Flair match. In a cage.
Yeah, Savage Flair in a cage and Hogan Giant in a cage. It actually wasn't bad either. And
yeah.
And at the end of the year, you get one of my all-time favorite WCW segments is when Piper reveals Bischoff as being NWO. That's like one of my all-time favorite. And then I like Hogan Piper at Starrcade as well. That's like one of my guilty pleasure matches.
I haven't seen that in forever. But I'm looking forward to seeing Diamond Dallas Page versus Super Calo
from
Fall Brawl. Because I remember at the time – loving that, and I think on Fall Brawl 2, you get a really good Chris Benoit Chris Jericho match.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yes. And if anyone out there, like if you're interested in doing this project and being part of it, and you have footage, like if you have Saturday Nights from '96, like I'm sure this match is out there. You know, we're kind of mainly trying to work with what's on the network for us out of ease at the moment. But even like we get to track down the ECWs, like House Party. I don't know if that's on the network, but they may have showed those matches on Hardcore TV. Like, so those will be on there. So we got to kind of track those down. We'll try and link where we can. And, but if you do know of other stuff that's kind of off the beaten path that we should include North American or beyond, let us know on the thread. Like there's a nomination thread, just put it in there. Say, oh, I've seen the Saturday Night. Here's a link to it or whatever. So we'll go to our usual sources, see if we can dig anything out, but there'll be enough as it is on the network, but I'd like to find some other forgotten stuff too.
Yeah, and have fun with it. Like, I mean, even if it's something like you really think is just personal to you, who knows, right?
Right.
Like, you know, someone else might hate it. Maybe you'll have a great discussion on the board. You throw things back and forth. Like, so far everything's been pretty civil, but I'm sure that's going to change, which will be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the project will really heat up and we start screaming at each other. So, come on down. Bigelow 34.
Proboards.com. Yeah. So, all right, why don't we take a break? Hopefully everyone will join up. And if you have any questions on the project that we didn't cover, let us know. We're going to cover it here on the show. It'll probably be kind of a recurring segment for us talking about some of the stuff we've watched. But we're going to be sharing our thoughts. And we also, like Aaron mentioned, we have a lot of other cool topics there as well. But we'll get to that in a little bit when we kind of do our plug. So why don't we take a break, Aaron? When we come back, we're going to get into our next two falls. And they are kind of a life holiday theme. So touch on that in a moment. We'll be right back.
Can't wait.
No one. And hauling through the snow at a frightening speed with a half a dozen deer with the Rudy to lead.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place Free Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceFreeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place Free Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTB In Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show,
as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlayStation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebook via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Welcome back to No Holding Some Bars, segment three, technically, I guess, fall two. And Aaron, as we mentioned, it is our Festivus edition here tonight. So I thought we'd take a minute for the first time in a while, doing a non-wrestling segment and talk Christmas.
Or Hanukkah.
Probably just Christmas, since that's what we celebrate, and we're talking about it. It's not meant to be an all-inclusive conversation. We're not trying to exclude anyone. It's just you and I happen to celebrate Christmas, and this is what we're going to talk about, is our memories and thoughts on Christmas.
Quite an assumption you've made, that I celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, you told me you do.
Well, still, it's an assumption.
You are Canadian.
Ooh, you hear my pneumonia voice crack? Ooh.
Don't die until the show's over.
Yeah, I won't.
Okay. So,
Christmas. It's Christmas time.
What does Christmas mean to you, Stevie Wonder?
That guy can't see.
No, but he can sing.
Oh, fuck, he can sing. Fuck, that guy can sing a tune.
Yeah. I like Christmas. The sad thing to me is I've gotten so busy that I don't really get to watch like Christmas movies. Or at least I can't prioritize watching Christmas movies. Like, I just haven't. Like, I used to just, I guess, pre-kids, I don't know, like, we're like, oh, well, it's like, I definitely watched Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, I definitely watch Elf, you know, like, I'd see a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And now, it's like, we just got so much fucking shit going on, or I'm watching this wrestling late at night for this fucking projects and podcasts. Like, we haven't sat and, like, watched a Christmas movie yet, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I keep telling myself I have time, and then I realize, oh, shit. And then what I end up watching is just a Christmas story on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day on TBS, ends up being like the one thing I'll end up watching. And that's kind of been the thing the last couple of years. Now, my kids are getting into more of like the movie mode versus just like fucking Paw Patrol and Fancy Nancy and all that bullshit. Like, they actually will sit and watch movies. Like, tonight they laid in our bed and watched like Frosty. Actually, I think it was the Return of Frosty when he marries the chick.
He comes back?
There's a second one. He marries... fuck, what the hell is her name? Crystal, which I thought was like a stripper at first, but it's just
I was about to say it was a stripper name. It's for sure a stripper. If she's fucking a snowman, she's a stripper.
Well, it's just like a fat, homely-looking snow woman, and Jack Frost just torments them. But anyway, so they watched that, and then there's like this Elf on the Shelf movie. But they've watched Elf now. They've watched Polar Express. So they're kind of like getting closer. So I think I'll maybe like starting next year, start watching more of the Christmas movie stuff. But I've been in this weird lull, just due to timing and schedules and everything else, that like I'm missing that piece of it. Now, Christmas music, I've heard a ton of. We could talk about that. But do you have kind of like go-to Christmas movies? Have you watched any, or like the ones that are always on your list?
I introduced my two older sons to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation this year. I don't know if I made the right choice. They were 6 and 3.
Premature.
Well, they laughed when they're supposed to laugh, and like they didn't. Anything sexual just goes over their heads.
Right.
So, like, I mean, they wanted to – we had to re-watch the sliding down the hill, like, 5 times. Like, that was, like, the moment of the movie for them, right? And then for some reason, my disc my DVD started skipping right before his rant, which I guess is kind of a blessing in disguise.
Correct.
Like for what the exercise was. They had some questions about Milik Milikimaka and the pool. For them, it takes like – there's a disconnect in terms of like why is there a pool out in the snow? Like they can't make that connection yet that like, oh, it's in his head. Oh, he's fantasizing about this woman. Like why is he at the lingerie counter sweating? Like they don't understand that yet, which is kind of fun. No, I mean we watch Frosty. I've never watched a second one. You know, I've never seen A Christmas Story.
No.
In my whole life. Yeah. And I don't know if I want to at this point. Do I want to?
Yeah. I mean I actually hadn't seen it for a long time. But once it really started going to heavy rotation on TBS, I started getting pretty into it. Now, it's weird because it's not like I wouldn't put it up there as like one of my favorite Christmas movies. I like it. But there is something about it being – I'm kind of a mark for stuff that just like is on in like some kind of rotation. Like I like leaving it on. I'm big into like marathons. Like so – like I go to bed and it's on. I wake up and it's still on. I go to the – go to church, you know, like I kind of like that it's just
like Miz and Mrs. right now. You're like all over it.
I'm hyped. Yeah. But like when they do like Jersey Shore marathons and MTV, like I love it where I can just kind of leave it on and come and go. Or that when the Stro used to be where they just the website, the Stro guy that would just have like all the TV and pay-per-views and like WWF, WCW, ECW from like 93 to 01 playing. And I like when I can just put something on at a random time and just like watch it.
Okay.
In some quote chronological order, you know, so I can just kind of come and go. So anyway, that's like a hook for me for Christmas Story. I do think you should watch it because I do think it's funny, but I could probably think of a bunch I'd probably put above it.
Well, I mean, we usually watch Elf. We haven't watched it. I've been sick, right? So I haven't watched a lot of movies with them. We usually watch Elf. They really like Elf. Mm-hmm. What's the other one? The other Christmas movie?
Santa Claus?
No, I've never showed them that.
That's a good one.
Isn't Tim Allen a bigot though now? Are we allowed to like him anymore?
I think you can like him then because he wasn't a bigot yet.
Is he just a bigot now? Because how do I explain to my child that Santa's a bigot?
How about the Grinch? You like the Grinch?
I like – oh, my God. I went to see the new Grinch.
So they saw it. I didn't. They went with my wife and mother-in-law. I went to go see Creed the same night.
Smart. Smart. So hold on. What did your children say versus what your wife said?
They actually – my kids loved it. And my mother-in-law really loved it. And my wife, I think she thought it was fine.
It was the worst piece of shit I've seen. like, look, here's the problem, all right? So, another segment, movie reviews.
Was it worse than the Jim Carrey one?
Oh, yeah, way worse. Because here's the thing. The Jim Carrey one, at least it was trying to do something different.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I'll have the Busta Rhymes song in there.
Well, fuck. I mean, look, it's almost word for – like it's longer,
mm-hmm.
but like it's word for word like a lot of the original. And like I'm sorry, you're not going to be better than the original.
Right.
Like that Boris Karloff voice is so iconic,
mm-hmm.
right? But like it can't be turned into like the Who's Down in Whoville like Christmas a Lot. You know, like it just doesn't translate. And then this weird rap version of the Mr. Grinch song, like
yeah, but that was the Busta Rhymes one. You didn't like that, and the Jim Carrey one. That was a good one.
See, I don't mind it in the Jim Carrey one because the Jim Carrey one is clearly just trying to do something different.
Right, right.
Like this is just I don't. It felt like updating. And here's the thing too: is that halfway through the movie, I'm like, I get it. I get why the Grinch hates Christmas because these fucking Whos are so obnoxious. Like you want him to burn the thing to the ground. Like, and that's not the point of the movie.
Right.
Like his heart's supposed to grow. They put a tree and a star that lights up the whole fucking sky. The guy's just trying to sleep. He's just trying to sleep. He goes into the town for 5 minutes to buy groceries and like he gets assaulted like 6 times. It's no wonder. It's no wonder he tries to steal everything. So I like the original Grinch.
So what you're saying is the new one was stink, stank, stunk.
Yes. To sum it all up, stink, stank, stunk.
It's funny you mentioned, like, your kids laughing at the parts. I was laughing. So the other – yes, fuck, what day? I don't even know. One of these days I was home, and I was watching Tommy Boy. And my son, who's, you know, going to be 4 in March, was getting in and out of the room playing those Legos. And then at one point he sat down. And I'm like, should I change it? I'm like, it's not that bad of a movie. And he sat at the perfect spot when they're on the plane. And you just get – are you familiar with the movie?
No.
Okay. You know which one? You know what it is, Tommy Boy? Chris Farley and David Spade.
Who's Chris Farley? Sorry, I'm just derailing on purpose. Go on.
So there's a scene where they're on an airplane and you just get Chris Farley stooging in the airplane bathroom. And it was like the perfect timing. And he's like dying. He's like laughing his ass off. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. Because like it was kind of the first like adultish movie moment that him and I have had, you know?
Yeah.
And it was funny that he got it. You know, it was just like, whatever. Like it's Chris Farley sticks his foot in the fucking toilet and flips the thing. It's hit the butt. You know, like whatever. He's stooging around. So anyway, it just made me think of that. And it was a cool moment.
Yeah, yeah, and those moments are awesome. Like they laughed a lot when Randy Quaid's emptying the shitter, like into the into the sewer.
Yes,
and the whole shitter's full, and like, I mean, they pop at swear words, right? So
obviously, who wouldn't?
Who the hell don't?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna do that. We're gonna probably do Elf again soon.
Ernest Saves Christmas?
Probably not. I mean. Do I need that as a role model, that piece of shit?
I love that movie. I watched it so much as a kid. But I don't think I want to show them yet because part of the like early part, remember like Mr. Klaus, whatever the fuck his name is in the movie, is like in that Santa Slay movie. It's like a horror movie or whatever. Like yes. I don't want them like seeing that part early yet. So anyway.
Yeah. We'll probably do Home Alone. We did Home Alone last year.
Yeah, we haven't done Home Alone yet. That's a good one.
It took my oldest, like my oldest watched it last year, but the year before he was terrified of it.
Right.
And it's like because of burglars, right?
Yeah.
So, but now, yeah, last year he liked it. He loves like the kid fighting. Like they're really, he's really into kids fighting, right?
Right.
So
yeah, obviously.
If I could give him that. I feel like there's a big one we're missing that I keep kind of jumping over. But we don't watch any of the classics like It's a Wonderful Life or
fuck that shit.
Miracle on 34th. I'm done. I don't want to watch that anymore. Oh, you know, if every time a bell rings, like I don't need Jimmy Stewart lecturing me on Christmas, right?
No, just because Zool doesn't make it good.
No,
they're good.
Not.
They're good. I have no interest in seeing many
Although,
of them either.
I do kind of want to see if the kids like the Ten Commandments because that's actually I think that's a great movie,
mm-hmm.
A legit great movie. It's fucking long, but
now,
legit.
Are you a mark for like the Christmas specials?
Like Christmas
at Rockefeller Center or like, you know,
no.
You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of stuff. Like, will you watch shit like on the network channels because they're like Christmas themed or will you watch like performances that are Christmas themed or something like that?
No, I don't have cable. So, or I don't have any channels.
Right.
So, but even when I did, I was never into that. Like one of my Christmas traditions with my dad, we used to do presents on Christmas Eve and in Canada on TSN, which is ESPN basically, but better. They would always do a year in review on Christmas Eve. So that we would watch every year. We'd watch that and we'd buy the I don't even know if you have these. Do you have like the Don Cherry Rock'em Sock'em hockey tapes? I can't imagine you do.
Yeah, I'm sure they're out there somewhere. Yeah. But I can picture what they are. Yeah.
Like we would buy that every year. So we do the year in review and then watch that tape kind of thing.
But that's more year in review than like Christmas. I'm talking like the Christmas themed.
No, but that's what I would watch in lieu of.
Right.
Except for the Mr. Bean Christmas special, which again, isn't really what you're talking about, but we try to make a point to watch that every year too.
Yeah. I'm like into the idea of those things. I don't necessarily want to sit and watch them. But I think part of the problem is just the over ridiculous levels of content we have now available to us. Like 15 years ago, like that stuff was kind of cool because all right, it's something different that we can watch. But now it's like, I just like, you know, I only get so many free hours to watch what I want to watch. Like, do I really want to spend it watching John Legend singing Christmas carols and Rockefeller Center? I don't, you know what I mean? Like I'm kind of okay. And even stuff like with Sirius Radio, and Spotify, like I kind of get Christmas music everywhere else. Like I don't need to see people singing it. Like I can hear it on there, like in the car if I want to hear it.
I got people showing up at my house singing it. All right. I don't need people on my TV also.
Exactly. And, but my kids are super into Christmas music. So we're pretty much Christmas music on. Like it hits serious. Like the second week of November, like we've pretty much had it. If they're in the car, we pretty much have it on. And if I'm by myself, I'll listen to like maybe a song or two here or there. I'll flip through. And I like it. Because it's different, and I'm like, all right, I go 10.5 months without it, right? I can dedicate 6 weeks to hearing, like, songs that I don't hear the rest of the year, and I like. So I do find myself listening and got a little bit sad when it Christmas Day's over and it's done. But it's anyway. Yeah, I know. I will listen to it here and there throughout the year. But if it's like the Jackson 5 stuff, like if that comes on my playlist throughout the year, I'll listen to it. I like theirs a lot. I would say those their songs are some of my favorites. And then I don't know. What are some of yours? Like I like Christmas and Hollis.
I think All I Want for Christmas Is You is the best modern Christmas song.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love a lot of the other new ones, but that one is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with it. It's great, but I'm just kind of done with it.
She's got some pipe. Yeah, but it's because you don't have a heart, apparently.
I do. It just grew 10 times.
Because the message is... Oh, my God. Were you the Grinch? Were you the one rapping in that fucking cartoon?
Yo.
Yo.
But I do... it's a great song. I just heard it. It's like Paradise City, you know? Like, kind of fine if I never hear it again.
I like that song, though. Let's get that out of there.
Yeah. Anyway.
See, I worked in an electronics store, like basically a Best Buy, the Canadian Best Buy, right, for about 5-6 years in my 20s. And
is that the same one Scott Keith works at?
Pardon me?
Is that the one Scott Keith works at?
No. Oh, maybe. Maybe we actually did work at the same one. That's possible.
It's all Canada, right? Is this one store?
Yeah, Scott, if you're listening, it's Future Shop for Life. I know you're listening right now.
That was him. He worked at Future Shop.
Yeah, that's right. Well, obviously, I think he was living on the other side of the country.
It's the same place. I mean, if you said you worked at Stop and Shop, you'd be like, oh, I worked at Stop and Shop. It doesn't have to be the same one.
Right. That's true. We could probably reminisce. We could probably watch The 40-Year-Old Virgin and enjoy how accurately they portray an electronics store. Right. Like, it's perfect. Like, right down to the cables they're pushing. And anybody who's worked in electronics stores knows what I'm fucking talking about right now. But so I had Christmas songs drilled into my head from the day after Halloween until basically like January 10th.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I like Christmas music, it took me a long time to like it again. And I've heard so much shitty Christmas music. Like when you've listened through the Destiny's Child Christmas, and they're all like, who's got your back on Christmas Day? Santa's got your back on Christmas Day. Like you grow a hatred for the season and the music that is unparalleled in any other season. But I like it now. And we have we have a vinyl player. We're better than you, you know? Mm. So we have like about 50 Christmas vinyls that I inherited from my dad. So we listen to those now. But I'll say this, I don't like listening to it in the car, but today we have a friend who makes a Christmas CD for his friends every year. And this year he made one for us because we're kind of new friends and whatnot. And it was the fucking – one of the weirdest things I'd ever listened to. There was bagpipes, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. There was him rapping about
– The Grinch.
No, just about being in his studio, at which point he said, I'm in the fucking studio. And then my three-year-old was like, I'm in the fucking studio. Like, so there was that. Then there was this weird this weird fucking interlude because we just legalized marijuana. There's a fucking rant about that. So this was my Christmas CD today in the car, which I really appreciate that he made. I thought it was cool. There was some of it I liked, but I was kind of glad when it was over and I can get back to Stone Cold Crazy by Metallica and like fun stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I like the classics. I really enjoy the somber Christmas songs.
Oh, see, I do not.
See, I like We Three Kings. I think I love that song, actually. But I think it might be because, as a child, I loved the Claymation Christmas with the raisins. Is that ever a thing?
Yeah.
And as a child, I was terrified of it. I don't know. I think because as a child, I was terrified of the idea of Jesus. Like, I was just scared of Jesus. I thought he was going to come and, like, I had this vision of him, like, out in the snow running after me for some reason.
That's like a whole other level of like, you know, we have like Catholic guilt. But that's just,
I was terrified of Christ. You know, I thought he was coming for me.
Well, I mean, I was too, but I was afraid he was going to just end the world and send me to hell because I was watching The Real World and getting hard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Puck was really hot, so it makes sense. so I was terrified of him. So like the idea of this claymation thing, this clay coming to life just petrified me, but I thought it was so cool. Like they had that, the Three Through Kings was great. They had the bells dinging. They had the, Here We Are a Wassailing, which they kept like thinking was waffling. That's probably my favorite Christmas special of all time. And so the songs from it really, are like really close to my heart.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I'm also with Josh Groban's the whatever the one for the Polar Express. Yeah, I'm kind of like I get the point, Silent Night and all that stuff, but I'm more just the pop, upbeat. The Stevie Wonder ones, the Jackson 5, Beach Boys, you know, like that. That's more my level and speed with the Christmas music. Even Bruce.
That one?
Yeah, well, the Santa Claus Coming to Town, where he's giggling. Although I think I prefer Elvis's.
Santa Claus is coming to town. That one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I want to say Jackson 5 though up on the housetop right now is my current one.
Yeah, I see. For me, it's probably Mariah Carey. I just think that song's so good.
And there's other like I like Steppin' to Christmas, Elton. I mean, anyone who listens to Place to Be podcast, you probably know my top 10 because they're just the ones I play every year on the show.
Yeah. You push your politics on us every
That's
year.
It. You're gonna like Christmas and Hollis.
Christmas House is good. It's fun.
Christmas like, wrapping what, as well.
Yeah. What are so do you do presents Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
So with the kids it's Christmas morning.
Yeah.
When you wake up. With the like doing the multiple family Christmas thing, it's pretty spread out. So like this year it's gonna be 3 days. So on Christmas Day we go to my aunt's, which is like all my cousins and everything.
Yeah.
But my mom likes to do gifts with like me and my sister and the kids separate.
Right.
But on Christmas Eve, we're going to my brother-in-law's house because it's his birthday as well. So because we're going there on Christmas Eve and my mom wants like our own time for presents, now we're doing the 23rd as well. So we're going to my sister's house on the 23rd and they're making like a full fucking meal, like steaks and like everything else. So I'm going to eat there. And we're going to do gifts.
Don't say it like it's a fucking imposition to eat steak at someone's house.
Oh, it's beautiful. But I'm just saying, like, that's day one of, like, a three-day food binge is, like, giant steaks, you know. So I'm eating that on Sunday, and we're doing gifts with my niece and nephew. And then Monday, we're doing the full Italian Christmas Eve, which I don't know how up to speed you are on that, but it's, like, 7 fish courses. It's kind of the tradition. So a lot of fish. And then Tuesday is like Christmas proper, which will probably be like ham and soup and whatever the fuck else my aunt makes.
You don't do turkey?
No. Thanksgiving turkey, Christmas ham. Or actually, my aunt and uncle usually make like a roast.
Oh, see, it's because your Thanksgiving is too close to Christmas. That's what it is.
Correct. Like, no one wants turkey like 3.5 weeks later again.
I see. Ours is in like the first week of October, so it's just right. It's just right for turkey again.
It's too early for Thanksgiving. Like, I'm just kind of getting into fall, you know? Like, it's not Thanksgiving yet. I'm still – it's almost like summer here in September still now. Those climate change bullshit.
That's a myth. You know it, right? It's a myth. Come on.
First, he killed Ronald Reagan, and then he lied about climate change.
Did he also do 9/11, Al Gore?
I think so. Well, it's after he destroyed the internet. He didn't build it. He lied. And then they had to rebuild it. Bush rebuilt it.
Well, there was a real internet that we don't have anymore, right?
Correct. Yeah, well, Trump's going to get it back.
Is that the one with all the JFK proof on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I thought so.
Did you listen to Greg Phillips' shoot interview on Talking Pop?
No. Does he talk about JFK?
No, but he talks about this girl he dated that was a 9/11 truther, so you should check that out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
What the hell are you saying? Oh, yeah, you're going at 23rd.
24th, 25th.
Yeah, 25th, you got ham.
Yep, and then I'm going to puke the night of the 25th and call it a day. And then I'm off. So I'm off starting – I'm working tomorrow, but it's kind of a half-ass work day. No one will be around. And then I'm off till January 2nd. So it's funny. Whenever I used to watch Christmas Vacation, you know in the beginning when the guy who's in every movie, like his buddy at work, is like, oh, I'm off till next year. You know, it's like December 18th or whatever. And I was like, oh, how do you get that job? You know, like I'm – everyone's always working like – you know, when I was working with TV with Scott and everything, like, you know, I'd work fucking Christmas Day, Christmas, like, it didn't matter, you know? And then even when I started my current job, I was on the phone. So, like, I didn't really have, but now, like, I get so much time off and I can kind of do what I want. So it's like, yeah, I'm that fucking guy who I'm off from December 20th until the end of the year. I get to say, I'll see you next year. You know?
The douchebag, like, flicking the diving board in the office.
Right. Yeah, that fucking guy. He's in every movie. But yeah, it used to suck when I was like on the phones, like working New Year's Eve and shit like that. You know, like when I used to say, I'll see you next year, it was literally the day before. But now I can just say it now, like tomorrow. I'll tell people, I'll see you in 2019, bitch. I'm out.
Now, do any of your family listen to this podcast? Probably
no,
not, right?
No.
Do you feel undue pressure from your family to go to a fucking bunch of different places on Christmas?
Yeah.
Now you have kids especially?
Right, yes. Like before the kids, we used to kind of just split it up. So like we would do Easter one, we're at one place, Thanksgiving one place, Christmas one place. We still kind of do, but there is a little bit of pressure to try and do both, mainly on Christmas. Like Easter, if we just like do my parents or whatever, or her family, and then Thanksgiving just do mine, like it's kind of okay, you know? Like Thanksgiving, yeah, we just did my parents. But for Christmas, but Christmas Eve helps because we can kind of split it across the 2 days, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't ever envision a time where it's just like, yeah, we're just going to be at home, us. Although last year was actually the closest. So I was actually thinking of this the other day. Actually, I submitted it to Talkin' Pop. I don't know if they used it on their Christmas foibles episode. But so last year, we were, did gifts, got all dressed up, and we did like a family picture, the four of us in front of the tree, and did like the timer or whatever. And immediately after, my son puked on the floor. And I just figured, all right, he ate something. It bugged. He was fine. Like right after, he was fine. So then we go to my aunt's, and like he's fine. And then boom, pukes again on the floor. And then, you know, asshole cousins like, oh, get him out of here. You know, it's like, it's a 3-year-old at Christmas. Don't fucking, it's hard enough right now that he's sick. Like, yeah, like you don't have to shun him. You know, like,
he's
we're
a place
leaving.
He doesn't want to be too, right? He
we're
wants
fucking
to be at
leaving,
home with his
you
toys.
Know what I mean? So, like, whatever. So we left my daughter there with my parents, and me, my wife, and son came home. And that's like the first time, I think, in a long time where Christmas Day was probably since like I lived in like Connecticut and was working. Like, the first time in a long time on Christmas Day was literally just like me and her on the couch watching TV while he was kind of resting and playing with his toys. Right. It was nice, but it was also kind of felt like I could do this any day, you know?
Yeah. See, like,
but hang on. So the funny part of the whole thing is I have the picture, and in the picture, his face is like pale white.
It's coming.
He's like on the verge of puke. I'll send it to you. He's like on the verge of puking. Like it's coming at any moment. And it just made me laugh. Like, cause we didn't really notice it, you know?
It's too bad you didn't get like a follow up of the mess.
I know, after. I was too busy. Yeah. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. Right. You're worried. Yeah.
I'm going to send you the picture on Facebook now, though. But go ahead.
Yeah, like, so, like, I think, see, what happened to us this year is normally we would have a million places to go, but a combination of, like, a bunch of people dying mm-hmm. and, like, us moving, we're going to, like, so normally in the past we would do Christmas Eve with my dad. My dad would come over and we'd do Christmas Eve with the kid and him, the kids and him. And then he would go home and we'd sleep. And then Christmas morning used to be this fucking nightmare of, like, we'd wake up, we'd do our presents, then we'd go to my mother-in-law's, then she would want us to go to her boyfriend's house, who's Italian, so I know about this Italian thing, right? Yeah. Like, and they don't start eating until like fucking 9:30 at night. And like when you have a 4-year-old, it's impossible. And in between there, I'd also go to my aunt's, who was my dad's sister. And then the next day we'd have to go back to my mother-in-law. So this year, my dad passed away, so we don't have that. Mm-hmm. My aunt, who is my dad's sister, is not doing Christmas this year because like there were three of her generation this year, and there were four of her generation this year, and three of them died this year. So like, there's just nothing going on there. And then we're not going to the Italian one because we live so far now. And I got to tell you, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait to not have to, because like by the end of the Christmas day, your kids are just so burnt out. Like, and like, they're not really having fun anymore. And like, I don't know. When I say your kids, I mean everybody's kids. So this year, I think we're doing Christmas at home on the 25th. That's it. We'll be here Christmas Eve too. We're going to mother-in-law's on the 26th, spend the day there. And then on the 27th, we're doing what our family calls a fuck it day, where you can just do whatever you want all day kind of thing. And that's our Christmas, which I think is going to be awesome this year. Mm. Like, no pressure on the kids. No, and because I always found it so, like, so unreasonable of families to put that on us to travel to all these places. Like, especially because, like, maybe it's a different situation, but in our family, we're the only ones that have kids.
Yeah, see, so that's like, tough for the kids. Like, for me, my cousins all have kids. So, like, going to my aunt's is, like, they're with all their cousins and they love it. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, it's, like, they actually like going and hanging out and going to see them. So, but, yes, if they were, like, the only kids, that's a big difference.
Yeah, and it became a thing for us where it was, like, well, just come to us. Oh, no, we want you to come here. Like, you don't understand how hard this is to put three kids in a car when they just want to be at home with their toys. Like, on the one day a year, they get a ton of toys, right? Because I deprive them the rest of the year.
Obviously.
You deprive your children, right?
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. Have you killed any animals in front of them?
Only three.
Okay, good. Well, you'll catch up. You'll catch up. Lots of time. Lots of time for that. So this is going to be a relaxing Christmas. Like, I'm going to – I mean, we'll still do the Feast of Strength and stuff. Like, right. I got to teach
them. You got to beat them up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course, of course, of course. But yeah, that's – I mean, what's the point of the holidays otherwise, right?
I agree, my friend. I agree. The other thing, too, is, like, the Catholic pressure, guilt of church weighing over it. And
oh.
And here, like, if – so my daughter, we want her to – we went back and forth a lot, but we settled on having her make her sacraments. And so to do that, to, like, make First Communion, you have to take religious education classes. So she's been doing that, like, so we kind of officially joined a church again. And I grew up as, like – a pretty devout Catholic. Like, I went to Catholic school my whole life. And so, like, I know the fucking drill, you know, like, I know everything that there is to know. And, yeah. But there is this pressure of, and the mass times are really not, like, helpful. So we get to go to my brother-in-law's Christmas Eve in Connecticut, which is, for us, it's not bad. It's like right over the border, but it's like a 35-minute ride. And, like, it's already a lot. Like, Christmas Eve, you're up late. And then the kids are fucking mess on Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, so the whole – it's already a lot. And the mass is, like, at 5. So if we went to this mass, like, it's a long mass, obviously. And you got to get there early to get a fucking seat. So you're talking almost 2 hours probably in the church. And then a half-hour ride to my brother. So now we're not getting there at, like, 6:30.
Yeah.
And that's late with young kids. You know what I mean? Like, that's –
yeah.
Like, you're starting to, like, the crash hour, you know. And then to have another long day. But then the next morning, to get them – open the gifts, play with the gifts, get them dressed, us dressed, out the door, go to church, come back.
Wait, you have to go to church again?
No, I'm saying one or the other.
Oh, okay.
So I'm saying why they both are equally a pain in the ass to do. And I get it. Like, when we didn't have kids, it was easy. You just go. And when they're older, when I was an older kid, it was easier. Like, it sucks to leave your shit, but whatever. You can get yourself dressed. But, like, my son, like, it's not easy getting them ready. And my daughter's a... whatever, you got to do her fucking hair right. You know what I mean? Like, it's not easy to get them out of the fucking house, you know?
Well, Jesus needs to be impressed with hair.
Yeah, well, she's nuts. So, it's, anyway, so, like, that's an additional pressure. It's like, all right, well, are we going to go to Mass? When do we go to Mass? And if we don't go to Mass, did we tell anyone we didn't go to Mass? You know, so it's like, it's this additional Catholic guilt that we have.
Will people shit on you if you didn't go to Mass?
They kind of like, oh, you know, like that. You know, it's like, oh, you didn't go, you know, whatever. Whatever.
Do you have anything to throw in their face?
I don't care. I just say, I almost want to say, well, why don't you take the fucking kids and go?
Can you be like, yeah, well, I respect gay people?
Right. Yeah.
There's none of that. You can't, like.
Nah, yeah. It's. I don't want to get into my issues with the Catholic Church. But, all right. Why don't we stop Christmas there?
Organization.
We're ending Christmas. We're ending Christmas. But I do want to quickly talk about PlayStation.com and our feeds that we have going on. So the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. At placetobe.podbean.com had some good stuff go up over the last couple weeks. So we had a reaction show for TLC. Chris and Devin had that. Me and Scott, Peter Winston, were back this past week. We were looking at the Science Man event from 11/88, as we're almost done with the year of 88. And then you may have seen as well that we are relaunching our From the Vault, where the big boys play. So we're pulling those back because, you know, those were... You know, I think they dropped from, what, 2011-12 time period in full, yeah. Right? So I think there's a lot of turnover of fans that may not have heard those, and they're great listens. So we're kind of reposting those every Saturday. We're up to the 14th, Starrcade 86. So that's every Saturday in this feed. Main event, our old friend Kevin Kelly joined Nate and Scott and Steve to talk about what's going on in the world of New Japan. So a lot of good stuff going on there. And, of course, a couple weeks ago we had the return of Jeff Learns Wrestling as well, looking at the summer of 89. And if you want to hear quite the, I think it was about a half hour delve into Jeff's recent sexual escapades and tips, check that out. It's quite the, unlike anything else here at Placement Nation. And then over at the Placement Nation pop feed,
which is ptnpop.podbean.com. Looking Forward, Looking Back just dropped. That's Andy Atherton's show. He was joined by Greg Phillips, Nick Duke, and Jennifer Smith, talking all different stuff, some comic stuff, some baseball, Disney Fox merger, on and on. Every week we have This Week in the NFL with a Cowboy and D'Amato. We have Songs with Friends. Brand new show just dropped as well with Russell and Sam called 90 to Nothing. They looked at Home Alone, so kind of timely to what we're talking about. And then, of course, all the usual stuff. We have Hard Traveling Fanboys, Marvel Age, Marvel Age Reaction. And then also Pop Blast they did last week, too, looking at the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I believe, I think that was just the main Russell and Greg, and I'm not sure if Nick was on that as well. So check that out. You can subscribe.
Was that the one that Andy was on too?
No, he did one on the Marvel, Captain Marvel and Avengers reaction.
Cool.
That was Andy, Jennifer, and Tim. And speaking of Jennifer and Tim, of course, they have Talk and Pop. They did a shoot interview with Greg Phillips that I mentioned earlier. That's real fun. And Jennifer also does Freak Out Drive-In, her monthly look at a horror movie where they live, her and a guest live watch. So all of that stuff on a very popping pop feed. So you can subscribe to both those feeds in iTunes or any other podcast app as well. PlayStation Wrestling, PlayStation Pop, rate us, love us, and download the shows. We appreciate it. You ever going to bring back the Crisscross?
I'd love to. You going to be on it, you motherfucker?
You never invited me.
I didn't?
No.
Oh, well. Fuck, that's stupid. You're always welcome. I'd love to. I actually really like – I think that one of the last ones you did with Jordan Duncan and Ben Morse and I think it was Greeny, the three of them, I think it's one of the funniest podcasts
that was good.
We've done. It was – they were just so awesome that night. So, but then I got to get Ivan, my buddy Ivan, back, and he's living amongst you guys now. So.
Oh, really? He defected.
Atlanta, GA.
Wow, I think the Rougeau brothers.
Yeah, right? Down, yeah. He met some Mexican girl.
So is he near Chad?
Well, he's in Atlanta.
Well, I think Chad's just outside Atlanta.
Shit. You think they're fucking?
Maybe. Ivan is hot.
Ivan, you know, he did a show with us. He did Romeo and Juliet with us when he was 26.
Did he play both 24. Of them?
He played both. It was disgusting. But all the girls on – because we do school tours in schools. And all the girls, whatever school we went to, would always cheer and scream for him. And so my wife, who was also on the tour at the time, convinced him that we had launched a website called IvanIsHot.com and that all the girls were logging in and stuff like that. And it was just this kind of throwaway joke. But then like the second to last show of the tour, he comes up to us very somberly and it's like – so I tried to look for the website, but I couldn't find it. Is it under a different
IRL? Is it a .gov? Or?
Yeah, yeah. So Ivan is hot as a thing.
Is he coming to Mania?
He is.
Oh, is he?
Sweet. Yeah, it's me, him, and my boy.
All right, cool. Looking forward to seeing my man again.
Big guy. I think he was a little shocked about how much it was going to cost.
Yeah. Well, it's probably Is it more expensive or less? I mean, he's in the U.S. now, but is it more from Atlanta?
Oh, well, I'm not even talking about travel, just the fucking tickets.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to drive?
Yeah, I'm going to drive. I was going to fly originally, but then the tickets are so fucking expensive. Right. Look, I bought tickets that were like $287, like, which I'm like, okay, that's expensive. But like once you convert it, it was $430, right? So like that's crazy. Like, but whatever, once in a lifetime, apparently.
Just like Rock and Cena, so you'll be back next year.
Rock and Cena, yeah. Yeah,
well, be careful because some people will call that a fortune and mock you for going. So, and then leave before you can reply.
Yeah, believe me, I've mocked myself enough for honestly, the only reason I went this year is because my son and I had talked about going.
I'm telling you though, people can say, and yes, the money it's a lot, but it's such an atmosphere they built that to me, it's such a great time, and it's so great because we get to see everyone. Like it's a kind of yearly thing now. It's like a reunion. And you just get soaked into it. Like it's everyone around you is into it. And I mean, New Orleans is kind of an outlier and obviously talk about it ad nauseum, but, everyone, it's just like a party atmosphere the whole weekend. Like everyone's super into what's going on, whether they're going to Mania or they're there more for the other stuff. Like everyone's just happy, you know, it's just like a fun atmosphere and it's intoxicating. And then you're just around all your friends now that we have these big groups that go. So to me, it's worth it. Like I'm looking to go every year I can. As my 1 year early trip. And I think I think he'll have a blast. I think kid's going to have a blast.
Oh, man, I can't wait. And, like, he's been to wrestling shows before, so he kind of knows what to expect.
Right.
Like, the other day he was asking me how long it is, and I was like, 7 hours. And he was kind of like, oh, okay. Like for instance, like, we're not going to the Hall of Fame because I don't I don't think it'll hold its attention.
The cowboy was going through the same battle because his nephew's coming. He's, like, super into wrestling. He's like, well, maybe, you know, maybe I'll do the Hall of Fame with him. And I'm like, it's just tough because this guy's talking and it's probably going to be half guys that he doesn't even know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like, we're doing NXT because we watch NXT, you know?
And that's awesome. And it's not that long. And it's like under 3 hours and it's awesome. Like, every match will be great. So.
And like my son is like really into like going to see the Empire State Building and shit too. So we'll probably take a day and do that. Like,
well, we could talk off air, but I think I have.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm talking about this now, but yeah.
All right. So why don't we get to our fall three? And I think we could probably, I'm picturing this being quick in my head. But we want to talk about doctors, and it's funny because we've been, both of us have had maladies of late, and it's led to some interesting conversations, and then you kind of took it in a darker direction. So we can kind of go across the board if you want, but it kind of started because we were talking about chiropractors. So I had a back spasm like 2 months ago, and since then my hip has been kind of fucked up, and I played football over Thanksgiving weekend and made it worse. And it's just kind of like a constant dull pain that's always there. And my wife had started going to this chiropractor for her back. And she was like, oh, it's great. I feel good. So I started going. And I've now gone like 8 times in like 3 weeks, whatever. I've been going twice a week. And he hasn't fixed my hip yet, but I feel real good when I come out of there. It's like kind of standing up straight. You feel loose. Yeah. You're walking better. You feel better. Like, I feel like I'm getting up better. And you were saying, you know, you and your whole family go to chiropractors, but it's also one of those things, like, people look at it kind of like quack medicine in a way.
Yeah. And not only that, they look at it as quack medicine, but there are also people that look at it as as dangerous.
Right.
And like, and it comes like when you say I bring my whole family there, like, I brought my kids there when they were days old.
Right.
Now people hear that and like, oh my God, you're killing your kids. But like, it's obviously they're not doing the same fucking things
right.
that they do to us, to the kids. Right. Like, when we started taking our kids there, we did something called cranial sacral therapy, which is very gentle massage on the head. And the entire point of it was to help with the latch when they were able to latch to breastfeed. And like, it worked wonders for all three of our children because like, I mean, like, that was something that was very important to us. And like, we might talk about some stuff here. Let me just preface all this because I think there's something really interesting in like, I want to say the parenting community, but I think in the health community as well. Like, just because I choose to do something doesn't negate what you do.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you've ever run into this in terms of like in parenting things or whatever.
Yes.
But like, you might say something as innocuous as like, well, my wife breastfeeds, and like the response will be like, what are you saying? I don't love my kid.
Right. Right. You know? Yeah. They're defensive about it.
Yeah. And I don't give a shit like about that at all. But like, so that was something that was important to us. And without fail, every time we went to the chiropractor for that particular thing, the latch improved. They were able to breastfeed. It became something that like was just part of our birth plan going forward ever since the first one. And it became a thing where I started going as well. And I noticed so many health benefits from the chiropractor. I'm not trying to push chiropractors on everybody, but like, you know, something as simple as I had a real problem with my neck and I went to an osteopath and, I went to her 2 or 3 times and she would hurt me every time I was there. Mm-hmm. And I always still hurting. I went to see my chiropractor. She touched me like 3 times and it was gone forever.
Right.
And the biggest thing I could say about a chiropractor is that I suffer sleep apnea. Like, I used to suffer sleep apnea. So I went and did the sleep tests and I was doing things like I was having interruptions every something like 8 times a minute during the night.
Jesus.
Which, if you've ever had a sleep test, that's crazy, you know? And so I did the sleep test. I tried a CPAP machine, which is a sleep apnea machine. I hated it. Tried a bunch of things. Hated it. All this being said, like, over the course of this time, it was about 2 years went by. And I went to do another sleep test. And then I went to do my sleep test. Everything – I was interrupted like twice the entire night.
Hmm.
And it was only when I went on my back as opposed to my side,
right.
which never mattered before. And the doctor was like, I don't know what you do. Did you lose weight? I'm like, no, I didn't lose any weight. Did you change your diet? No, I didn't change my diet. And then what occurred to me was, oh, wow, it's funny. Like, for the past 2 years, I've seen a chiropractor. And the doctor was so like, well, that couldn't be it.
Right. No way.
It's impossible. But it's like, but that's the only thing that's changed. Like, that's literally, and I'd have gotten older. So in theory, it should have gotten worse. Right. So I think there's tremendous, tremendous value in that. And I remember there was a period in my life where I was going through migraines. And I had a neuroscientist tell me that, like, oh, but going to see a chiropractor, that'll cause you strokes. That'll tear a blood vessel in your neck and cause you strokes. And it's like, well, I think that's happened like 4 times in the history of like
right.
recorded. And it's so hard to find like a source on it because like you'll research it and every doctor you meet will be like, no, it's not good for you. But every chiropractor you meet will say, yeah, it is good for you. And like, I think this goes into a bit of a deeper conversation about like preventative care versus like care once you're already sick.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a chiropractor falls into. Like you're setting yourself up so that you're not sick more often.
The neck one does like freak me out. I like it because it feels good. Yeah. But there is like a level of trust you're putting in this guy's hands that he's not going to snap your neck in half and kill you. And I'm fine with it. I've put my trust in him. He's been fine now and it feels good. But there's a split second every time he's starting to kind of do the crush head vice, you know? Like I'm like, you know, like, all right, hope for the best.
I still find it hard to relax into that. Like, right. And I've been seeing her for like 4 years.
Yeah.
It's like, relax. Okay, I'm trying. Like, I'm trying, but you're going to crack my neck, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's weird. But it does feel good. It's funny because you mentioned like the doctor, like, oh, it can't be that. So I don't know how open I've been about this on the shows. I don't remember. But I want to say 8 years ago now, I had a real bad battle with alopecia. So do you know what alopecia is?
Is that when you lose your hair?
Yeah. So it started, there was like a little spot in my beard and I noticed it. And I'm like, all right, I mean, it's just like, I cut it weird and whatever. And then I noticed a little spot on my hairline. And then the more you start thinking about it and looking at it, like it just gets worse and worse.
Of course. Yeah.
So I ended up with like a silver dollar size bald spot, like on my right side, like real noticeable. It was just like a fucking bald spot. And then, like, one near my ear on my beard and, like, one, like, kind of where my goatee would be. And so, I mean, it sucked. I was, like, clean shaven for, like, the first time in forever. And I was going back and forth with my hair. So, like, at one point, I shaved my head, basically. But it was still noticeable because it's almost like there's no hair at all. So, it's not like, you know, right. When you shave and, like, it was, like, so it would be, like, real, like, a buzz cut. And then this like huge flat bald spot, and I'd get the same fucking joke like, "Oh, would you fuck up shaving? You know, like your right, bald would fuck up." I'm like, "No, asshole! I have an autoimmune disease.
I am dying."
Right. So, and then I'd grow it out, and then like try and do like the comb over kind of like to cover it. And so I'd go. So my grandfather had mentioned something like, "Oh, an old trick back in the day was the barbers would rub like an onion on people's heads, like if they were had bald spots like that or whatever." Yeah. And I read about it. Like I did a lot of research on alopecia. And one of the things was literally like onion,
juice. On your head.
Yeah. So for a while I was actually juicing, like chopping onion, like making onion juice and putting it. So I stunk like onions. I think it's something with like the sulfur or whatever.
Okay.
And so then I went to like a dermatologist and I told her, and she's like basically like laughing, like laughed at me, and it got me so fucking angry. I'm like, yeah, I am here. Right? Like I am stressed enough. I'm walking around looking like a fucking idiot. And like, I'm trying to do whatever I can, you know, like, do you have to laugh? Like be like a bitch about these. So I actually switched. I went to a different dermatologist because I was so angry. And then it was working. Like it was coming back a little bit, but it just wasn't kind of happening enough. So I ended up getting a steroid injection. And I don't know if you've ever had a steroid injection in your fucking head.
No.
But it did not feel great. But it did help stimulate the follicles, and they came back.
Huh.
And then I didn't get the steroids in my face. I didn't want the shot in my like chin, so I just said I'll live with the beard. And that came back. And when it came back, it was like a newborn.
Okay.
So I had like this peach fuzz like on my head and my face. And it's back now, all of it. And it's never come back, knock on wood. And it's crazy to read about because it's like it could have been triggered by anything. Like it could have been stress. It could have been
yeah.
I ate something and my body had a weird reaction and it triggered this autoimmune issue. Like, it's crazy to think. Like, they never really pinpointed it. At one point, they thought maybe it was like a gluten allergy because that runs in my family. Oh. And it wasn't that, so I got tested for that. It was weird. And I did so much reading on it, and it's crazy, like, the horror stories about it. Like, people killing themselves because, wow. like, women, like, were just, like, lost all their hair and, like, went bald and shit. And, like, you know, just melted down. You know, like, so, like, you know, a lot of people, like, would wear wigs and shit. They'd donate their hair for wigs, you know, so stuff like that. So, yeah, it was a crazy time, but it just reminded me that, yes, doctors can be pricks sometimes.
And, yeah.
And that, like, doctor, instead of, like, talking me through it, be like, you know, yeah, this could work. It's a good thing, but maybe we do this. And so, you know, instead of just, like, laughing it off, like, you're a fucking idiot. I'm like, you know, people in, like, the 1800s didn't fucking have steroid shots in their heads. Like, they were doing shit like this and whatever, you know?
Even if it's fucking placebo and, like, right. it makes you feel better, she should be for it.
Correct.
Like, it's not like putting onion juice on your head is going to hurt you.
Correct. Correct. You know, like, it's like they can't stand being wrong, you know?
They can't stand being wrong, and they can't stand being the only authority on it.
Right.
Which – it's like – I mean, like, look. Like, we end up using a lot of homeopathy. Mm-hmm. Right, which I know is a big but like, my kids are barely ever sick,
right?
Like, ever sick, and like, when they are sick, we go to the doctor, you know. But it's like, there's nothing. My wife goes on rants about this, about how like doctors don't seem to ever deal with preventative care. Like how often do you talk to your doctor? Not necessarily about losing, because obviously a doctor will tell you to lose weight, mm-hmm. but about diet, about specific diet. Mm-hmm. It's so rare. They'll tell you to go to a nutritionist. So you don't have all the answers, right? You know, like I would rather never see the doctor. And I don't know if you run into this because I never want to go to see the doctor here because like if you go see a doctor here, you're waiting like absurd amounts of time, right? Like that's the trade-off.
It's all free.
It's trade-off the free system. Yeah. But on the flip side, we don't bankrupt ourselves for having a child, right? Like, yes. So, which we also had at home. But like I'm curious as to how much – the business end of it plays into them being so derisive and dismissive of mm-hmm. these other ideas.
Oh, for sure.
Because like there is something in body alignment with chiropractic care that makes a lot of sense in terms of how everything else works.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, it's the same thing with weed, right? I mean,
yeah, right.
It's like, you know, it's starting to become more and more legalized here. Like Massachusetts has legalized it and they made like $1 billion the first weekend. but it's, you know, pharmaceutical and other medical companies are in the way of that too, right? Because they don't want people self-medicating with pot because it's going to take away from prescription painkillers and other pills. So it's like, yeah. It's the same fucking thing. It's the same thought process. I've actually been lucky enough to find, I have two doctors that are really good with the preventative stuff. I found a really good primary care doctor who's excellent. And then I'm actually going tomorrow. I have a gastrointestinal doctor because I've had acid reflux issues. And she's excellent with the preventative stuff. Like,
oh, that's great.
And very much with – so I have like bad allergies and bad reflux are like my two things.
Right.
So I've actually had to self-homeopathic, you know, medicate myself. Like what I eat, what I can't eat, stuff I can do to help myself. You know, like so I've done a lot of that through these two things, trying to avoid having to over-medicate myself on this stuff.
Right.
There's only so much I can do with the reflux. I still have to take medication. But – yeah, so I'm somewhere in between, but I've been lucky enough to find two doctors that are actually excellent in that area.
Yeah, and there's danger in over-medicating. Like, I've had pneumonia the last 2 weeks, but I know why I got it. I talked to the doctor about it. It's because about a month ago, I had had a root canal done, and it was infected. So I had to be on antibiotics, right? And so the antibiotic cleared everything out of my system, right? So when this virus hit, I had no defense. I had no antibodies or germs left in my body.
Right.
Like, and so it just fucking crippled me, right? And like, I imagine that can become quite an incredible cycle, like that you just can't get mm-hmm. off of, right? And like, it's funny, like everyone, not only doctors, I find people get very defensive of things too. Like there's the whole backlash of like, if you tell someone you're not eating gluten, right? They get very like, oh, either you're celiac or nothing. There's no benefit to it. That's been right. proven. But it's like, man, I've been on gluten-free diets, and like, I feel 1,000 times better mm-hmm. like after 30 days of not eating gluten than eating gluten. And I fucking love gluten. That's the problem, right?
Right.
But like, you know, you lose weight right away. There's a million things, and it's such an interesting thing that people's people's aggression is so raised at the idea of doing
it's Hollywood's fault because like I know I'm serious, like folks don't want to hear the newest fad diet that gets it. So right, so like that became like a fad thing in Hollywood for a minute, was like the gluten-free diets, and I think it just got lumped in with that, you know. And right. I would suspect more people are allergic to gluten than ever realize that they are.
Yeah,
you know, if you eat it and then you get a headache or a stomach ache, you know, you're probably not connecting the two.
Well, anything that like, it's almost anything that like, well, like I've heard people say this about your kids. It's like, well, when you start giving them this, they're going to throw up at stuff at first, but then they'll get used to it. But that's not normal then. Like you're forcing your body right. to adapt to something as opposed to feeding them something that the body just takes.
Right. But now on right? the flip side, I am a believer of like, we gave our kids everything out of the gate. Our doctor was very strong with the like, not believing in the allergy stuff, like waiting 6 months for peanut butter or fish or that stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we, the only thing we've never given our kids is gluten.
Right.
Like they've been completely gluten free because we noticed early on that when we gave my oldest gluten, when we gave him gluten, he got a rash and his behavior also completely changed.
Right.
And I mean, that being said, like, I mean, like I, like we were also very – I mean my wife nursed them like forever kind of thing too. Mm-hmm. So like I mean I don't know if they turned out the way they turned out because of the choices we made, but I'm sure they didn't hurt, you know? Like Jackson, my oldest, is like – he's six and he's the size of a 10-year-old.
Right.
You know, like he's big, he's strong, he's like – there's a lot of – like compared to everyone his age, at least in our area, like there's something happened there. Now, mm-hmm. that might be genes, but I'm not necessarily big. My wife's a fucking shrimp. Like something's amiss there. So I'm curious if that kind of played into it.
Right.
And even now, if we can tell if they get – we call it getting glutened. Mm-hmm. Like it's there's a change in their behavior, which is really interesting. Much more irritable, much, much more quick to anger. And it's only with that because my kids are fucking angels. No, yeah, I just think there's an interesting – something interesting that happens in the minds of people when something that someone else is doing – I don't want to say it challenges their perspective, but I don't know if they get angry because they realize they're doing – maybe they feel guilty about them doing something different. Like I don't know what it is. I'd like to explore that mechanism. Like I think there's something really fascinating there.
No, I agree too. I don't know. It's just a weird mix of everyone being hypersensitive and very selfish. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's your way or the highway, like Jesse Ventura said at SummerSlam 99.
Yeah. Like, which leads me to something that I asked you in the chat that I think is an interesting talking point, which went darker, obviously, which is, do you think – why do you think there's a stigma – with men seeking psychiatric care?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a – do you think it makes you look weak?
Yeah.
It's for the weak. It's for the people with mental issues. I can work through it. I'll tell you because it's funny. I'm not going to go too much into this, but like my father-in-law passed away 7 years ago or 6 years ago, and like my mother-in-law like refuses to go like to like a grief counselor or a therapist. And it's caused us like – years of like,
sure,
you know, and like it still is, and it's like, and she's always looking for someone to talk to, and like her feeling, like I'm like, and we're just like there are people you can pay and they'll listen, like you go yeah. and they'll listen, they'll help you, like I can't do it, you know, so yeah, I think it's a generational thing, and then, so I think for the man part it's like a male pride thing, and for like older people I think it's like a generational thing, like
right,
like that's for weak. Millennials, you know, like, or whatever, you know, like,
right.
You know, you get the folks that think they're cool because they make fun of the fucking therapy dog or whatever, you know, like, or whatever. Like, is some of it over the top? Sure. But, like, who cares? You know, like, why, if it's helping the person cope, it's fine. Like, you don't have to prove you're a tough guy by making fun of the people that have the coping mechanisms. It's like, just whatever. So I think it's like part of that too, you know?
Yeah, if it makes you happy, then who cares?
Right.
Like, and if it legitimately
it's like Cheryl
solves,
Crow said.
Yeah, I just find there's just a really interesting thing there. And people who deal with real problems, like I have a buddy who's constantly saying like I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I just feel this, and I'm, you know, this is always happening to me. And he's in a cycle of, like, always being in the same situation with women, or, like, and it's like, you got to get whatever this feeling is out.
Right.
And fix it. Like, and like, I think there's different kinds of therapy, too, that can probably, that are probably very helpful. Like, look, I'll go full disclosure here. Like a few, when I first became a father, I was fucking terrified of becoming my father.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I think my dad was a good man on many levels, but I think he failed in a lot of ways as a father because of his inability to show love. And I was terrified of becoming that. And so I ended up going to see a therapist and talking with her. And I saw her on and off for like 2 years. And I mean, that helped a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. But then this past year, my father passed away, so I wanted to see a therapist. And I contacted this woman, and she never got back to me. So I ended up going to see a different woman. And the word on this woman was that she fixes you. And I was like, okay, well, that's impossible. Like, I don't know how that could possibly be. But you know what? I'll try it.
Right.
I'll try it to see. And her whole thing was, you're going to see me like 7 to 9 times, and then we'll never see each other again. And it became kind of a running joke with her of like, I don't want to see you anymore. Like that kind of thing.
Right.
And she did this thing where she called it healing on a cellular level. And like, it was a very interesting exercise, and she fixed me.
Hmm.
Like any pain or resentment I felt about the things that I brought in with me is gone. And it stuck. This was months ago. It stuck. And it's stuff you never thought possible.
Right.
And then talking to her about it further, like I had a girl that I was working with tell me something awful that happened to her when she was younger. And this was around the time that I had seen this woman. And I had said to her, well, I just went through this. Maybe this would help. And she came back with me like, well, that sounds like you're trying to fix me. Right. And I remember like just backing off because, you know, whatever. It's not my business and whatever. This lingering thought stayed with me of like, don't you want to be fixed? Like, isn't this something that you would not want to carry with you forever? Like to get past and to move on and to be able to like frame everything in your life differently. And like, I just – dealing with my friend who always has the problems with women too, like it's like there's something really interesting about knowing that there's something that can help someone and them refusing to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering like why. And it's like this with all these things, with psychiatric care, even with chiropractors, you know, with all of these things, like preventative care. Like what is the hesitancy? Is it, are we so worried about being right? Like, no, this is actually my problem.
Right.
Are we so worried about like about the things that give us pain defining us, like, you know, like it becomes this definition of us that like if we let go of it, dude, does it put us into chaos and we don't know what to do with ourselves anymore? You know, I'm really interested in exploring what that mechanism is. And like, I don't know if you guys, anybody listening has any thoughts on it, please go to Bigelow 34 at Topo.
Sure, it's there.
we could write there, but like I just find it such an interesting thing, and like I think everyone could benefit from it. Like I think everyone can benefit from chiropractic care. I think it's probably something that can help everyone, but I know everyone can benefit from mental health care.
Mm-hmm.
And like I don't even think, I mean, I had issues that were big, but you know, like they weren't crippling. And I mean, there are people that suffer with crippling ones that,
right.
like you could have a better life. Like,
yeah, we have to have Steve Willey guest spot on the next No Holds Barred. He can dive into.
Yeah, me and him will have an in-depth conversation.
he could diagnose you on the spot.
He could tell me how full of shit I am.
Idiot. All right. So obviously we can revisit some of the stuff. I mean, it's quite the rabbit hole. But I hope it's just some food for thought. It's funny because this is stuff you and I have been talking about. We said, why don't we talk about it on air?
It's No Holds Barred, baby.
Yeah. But if everyone's still with us, what we'd like to do is get to some sudden death. And another topic near and dear to our hearts, and one that we've also been talking about on the message board, is with us both having seen Creed 2 ranking the Rocky movies. And I always look at the Rocky movies in two ways, and you know my thought process here. I feel like you can't just make a singular ranking, because you have to look at them as, how do you rank them as movies? Quality movies, you know, the writing, the directing, the story, the music, you know, everything, right? Just as a movie. But then also, how do you rank them from a pure enjoyment? You know, do you like the camp? Do you like it as a movie? You know, like, how do you rank them that way? And I think you have to look at them both ways, because you get completely different lists when you do. At least I do.
Yeah. And I think when we're talking about this first, we should deal with the quality of the film first.
I agree. All right. So the quality of the film.
So we're going to rank them.
Let's
rank
them. Yes. Yeah. We'll do it together here.
I think we can agree 5 is the worst.
Yes. But I will say, I don't think 5 is as bad as it is held.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can argue that a little more when we're talking about enjoyment. Because I think on the enjoyment list, it's a lot less enjoyable to watch.
Right, but, well, see, I don't know. The last time I had seen it, granted it's been a few years, I didn't mind it as much. It has this rep because it's the worst of the Rocky movies, but I still don't think it's, like, that awful of a movie.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's awful. I just think it pales in comparison to what came before it.
Yeah, well, it's Tully. He never fights in the ring. He's retarded. He's got the brain damage.
He's coming off 4, which is, like, all bombast.
Right, and he's, like, back living, like, in the hood. And it's like he's poor. It's like, no, you don't want to see that. And I thought Rocky Balboa did a nice job kind of retconning us out of 5.
Yes.
And that's really kind of like the real 5, right? Because he's not meant brain damaged. He's owning the restaurant. And, you know, like, he's kind of like maybe where he would have been post-retirement. Like, you know, he's not like a billionaire, but he's also not, you know, like, dirt poor or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think part of 5 is also, it's not a bad synopsis of the time, right? Like, everyone lived high in the hog and bought into the stock market and everything in the 80s. And, like, a bunch of guys got taken for rides by money managers and stuff. So, like, it was actually kind of timely. Like, a lot of stuff was going on where, you know, money mismanagement and everything else. So, like, part of it was timely. But, and then also, like, the brain damage stuff and, like, you know, the kid getting bullied. Like, it was a fitting for that time. But anyway, all right, so quality is a movie. Are we agree that 1 is the best?
Yeah, I think you have to go.
Okay. So 1's the best, 5's the worst. We got the bookend. Okay. So what's your second best from a quality?
So this might sound crazy, but I think I'm going to I think I'm going to go Rocky Balboa as second best quality.
Okay. I don't think you're crazy because I love Rocky Balboa. I feel like Creed – the first Creed.
See, here's the thing. I think there are elements of Creed that are better. I think it looks way slicker. I think the direction is better. I think that maybe the script is a little better. But I think Rocky Balboa succeeds as a film more because it has so much more weight because of the five mm-hmm. preceding films.
Right, right.
Whereas Creed kind of exists separately of mm-hmm. it. Like, not obviously there's some follow through, obviously. But that's why, to me, I mean, standalone maybe, but it's almost impossible to look at any of these as standalone.
Right.
Except for Rocky 1.
Yeah, I mean, I love Balboa. You're not going to get much argument from me.
I mean, I'd have Creed 3, personally.
Okay. And how about Creed 2? Do you have it below Rocky too?
I probably, as a film, I probably have it just below Rocky too. Just.
Yeah, I liked Creed 2 a lot. I do think there's a little bit of laziness in points, and I think it's just the reliance on the Drago stuff.
Well, I think the problem, I mean, we can get into this too. Yeah. We're going to talk about this too in enjoyment, but as a problem with the film, I thought that, like, his motivation, Adonis Creed's motivation throughout the film was incredibly weak. Like, there were so many moments where he's like, well, I gotta fight. But, like, why?
Right.
Like, there was no reason for him to do a bunch of the things that he did.
Right.
Right. And I guess you kind of, like, can wrap it up in pride and whatnot, but to me, that's a bit lazy. Like, so that's where I kind of had trouble with it as a film.
Right. But I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh, I think it's still really good. Like, I would have it just – so, like, for me, I would have Rocky Balboa, Creed, Rocky 2, Creed 2.
Right. Yeah.
As a film.
I think those are the top five as a film. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I think Creed and Rocky Balboa are closer than Rocky 2 and Creed 2 for me.
Yep, that makes sense. So then the bottom three are 3, 4, 5. Do you have it in that order for quality?
I'd have it in that order, I think, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah. So now things flip when you go to enjoyment, right? Because now the list, 5 still at the bottom.
Yeah, 5 is still the worst.
But 3 and 4 jump all the way up.
Yeah, for me, it goes 4. 4 is 1, 3 is 2.
Right, I have that flip. 3 is my favorite.
I can understand that. Because 3, you get Hulk Hogan and Mr. T.
Yeah, and the T stuff is so fucking good. You know, come over to what a real man looks like.
Oh, yeah. and the best opening scene to any film ever, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's fireworks. Either Tiger's playing. You're seeing him win the title. Spoiler, he wins the title from Apollo Creed.
Yeah,
it does completely switch around.
Well, and then you get the prediction pain. It's like an all-time line. Mickey dying. You know, there's so much going on. I think it's, yeah, to me, that's my favorite. Before, obviously, is awesome, too.
Yeah.
And then I have one next, but I have it real close to Balboa, and I go back and forth on the two. I may like Balboa more than one. I don't know.
I like Balboa more than one.
Yeah.
As an enjoyment. I think Rocky, the first Rocky, is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And I think it's the only masterpiece in the franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to like just make the argument to authority there that it won Best Picture, it won Best Director, he was nominated for Best Actor, Pauly was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. These are all truths. But like, I just think that the script of Rocky is such a brilliantly written script. It's tight, it's perfect, and it's such an anomalous script too, because like the real action of the story doesn't start until like 40 minutes into it.
Right.
So you spend so much time with this character, like getting to know him and building sympathy for him. And it's really just this brilliant lesson in character development.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as a film, it's way more. But I enjoy watching Rocky Balboa more.
I love the fucking Puerto Rico cameo in Rocky Balboa.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It's
I
such
love
a
it.
Deep cut. It's so good. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, you know, I think people took issue with the fact that he was fighting again. And I remember having this argument ad nauseum with people when that movie came out. They're like, oh, it's just fake. How could he fight again? It's not. I'm like, that's the fucking story. I'm like, he's like he's challenging himself and he's coming out. Like, it's not meant to be. He's not Rocky. He's like this old man that's proving he has one less bullet in the gun, you know?
Yeah, he should have never fought Apollo Creed.
Right.
Like, if you're going to make that argument, make it all the way back.
Right.
Yeah, that film is great. And then you got his stuff with his son, which is really sweet and good. And
which I completely – it hit me at the end of Creed 2. I guess I don't want to spoil if you haven't seen it yet. But I had forgotten who played his kid. And I didn't realize that it was him and Balboa as well.
Yeah, and he's gotten bigger since then too. So it's cool.
Yeah, right. I'm like, oh, this is us. You know, this,
yeah. Yes.
But it was it was funny because I had forgotten that he was also in Balboa as the kid.
Yeah. My wife and I always joke about it that he's Rocky's kid. So that's why I hope they bring him. And then they did, which is good. Here's something that I know will send some shockwaves. So I'd put Rocky Balboa next. And then I wouldn't put Rocky next in terms of enjoyment. I would put Creed 2.
Oh, okay.
Now, the reason being is I'm such a sucker for anything father and son.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Dolph Lundgren is the best part of Creed 2. And I think the story with him and his son is such a different story than they've told in anything else. And the way that they kind of weaved in and out and how that story ended, I thought was really kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
And I mean, Dolph Lundgren does so much with so little dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
The looks and the pain and like, and then the surprises at dinner that show up and like.
Oh yeah.
Like,
they make him look like just such a pathetic man, you know, but then, and they do it. And then, but yes, the last scene with them back, like in Russia.
Oh, it's so, well, just the scene at the end. Well, at the
end, of the fight. Right. Yeah.
It's just so powerful. Like, and then fuck it. Like, if you haven't seen Rocky Balboa, if you haven't seen Creed 2, stop listening for 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I'm going to spoil it. But like, the fact that he becomes a better man than Rocky in a lot of ways in that moment, like he does what Rocky wasn't able to do.
Right.
And then like his son is just so broken And then he consoles him like a father when he hasn't really looked at him as a father for most of the fucking story. I just thought it was so beautiful and poignant and like
– and the scene with the mother dinner like is a big part of that, right? Because it's kind of like you realize it's always just been them, right? So he's always had to just kind of look after a son, right? Because she left, walked out and all this other stuff. So to me, that made it stand out even more. It's like – in the moment he's realizing, yes, this was our shot to be beloved again, but at the end of the day, I'm all he has.
And it's not worth losing you.
Right. Yes.
Like, and like, I don't know, like as a father, that kind of just really like.
Right. And then them running at the end was like, great. You know,
perfect. It's like, they're okay. They're okay again.
Yeah.
You know? And it leaves like open, like maybe we'll see him again, you know, like if they do keep doing sequels.
And they did a good job of not making him like super evil.
Yeah. Because he was so evil in 4, right?
Right, you know, and but even the kid, like they're almost they're being assholes because they want to get attention, right? But they're not looking to kill again, or you know, like.
And I love that the kid was the one at the dinner, which is like we shouldn't be here,
right?
Like these people don't care about us. Like I thought that was such a good. Yeah. Whereas the father was hanging on to like that, like no, we got to get back with like the Russians or
right. He had lost all the glory and everything else. No, it was yeah, no, it was a really well. It was a real good movie, and especially if you're that and Balboa to me are ones that like if you're a fan of the franchise, you're gonna love the films. You know what I mean? Like that, there was so much callback and deep stuff in there that it was real good. What are your thoughts on? Okay, we can stop the spoilers actually, I guess. But so, what are your thoughts on Stallone saying he's done being Rocky?
I'm fine with it.
So you don't feel that the character needs more closure than what we got in this movie?
No.
Okay.
Do you feel you do? He does.
I'm not saying I want him to die, but I feel like it's weird if he just vanishes. Like, are they going to reference him all the time? You know, like he's not there, but they're always going to talk about Rocky, you know? Like, I don't want it to be shoehorned where they're constantly mentioning Rocky and he's just not there.
See, I don't think they will. I think maybe they'll mention him kind of offhand. Like you'll this is how I imagine it happening, but I could be wrong, obviously. But I imagine, like, them – like Adonis Creed coming down to fight and the commentators being like, this is his first fight since Rocky Balboa retired. Right. And I think that'll be the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, I think they'll show restraint because I think for this to continue, it needs to be about Michael B. Jordan.
Right. Because I mean, there's already the rumors that he might fight Clubber Lang, some, which I think that's like, we kind of did the Sun thing and now it has to be its own
already,
thing.
Like the fact that Duke has a son that's a trainer
right.
is already almost too much.
Right.
Like, everybody doesn't have to have a son. It doesn't matter. We don't need Duke's legacy.
Right. Like, I will say this. I like that I did like that they didn't have him lose a title in the first fight.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
You know, because, like, I just expected, okay, he'll win and then he'll win it back. You know, like, so it was kind of cool that they did something different. So,
yes.
I preferred that.
I also didn't like their rationale for why the fight had to be in Russia.
Right.
It's like, why? How is this guy dictating terms?
Yeah, that was a bit much.
Yeah, like, why? Like, because Rocky IV did it? Like, Rocky IV made sense because Rocky IV, Rocky was just fighting for revenge, right? Right,
yeah. Yeah, no, it was be interesting where they go going forward. My prediction is Stallone misses the next one and then is in the one after, and then we'll wish he was just in all of them. That's my prediction. He comes back for 4.
Fuck, I don't know. I don't need to see him die. I don't want to see him
well,
die.
Well, no. I don't want him to kill him either. I don't.
I thought – I don't know if you felt this way too, but when I was watching Rocky Balboa the first time, I was convinced he was dying in the ring. I was so scared the whole fight.
Yeah, a little bit. I thought he may die in Creed 1 with the cancer.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think I don't know why it has to be all or none. Like, does he have to be a main character or out of it? Like, why can't he just be like in 3 scenes in the next one?
I don't know.
Like, why can't he just go see him and he talks to him and, you know, yeah, you're doing great, you know, like whatever. Like, why does he have to be in the whole thing or not? And by the way, I'm not a big like Joe Cracker of movies, but for whatever reason, this one was conducive to it. And one of the kind of best ones we had going was when he's like, I know you have something to tell me when they're at dinner or whatever. And it was your husband is a serial date rapist. when he's talking to Felicia Rashad.
It's weird, right? You can't look at her and not see Claire Huxtable, right?
That's all you think. But it's pretty cool they got her to come back, like, for this role.
Now, she isn't the wife, though, in Rocky IV, is she?
I thought she was. I thought she was in the Rockies. Or maybe not, actually. Now I gotta check. Why do I feel like... I thought she was in the other ones, because it seemed, like, natural to me that she'd be in there.
No, see, I'm picturing a woman as Apollo Creed's wife, but the woman I'm picturing is Nordberg's wife from Naked Gun.
Yeah, but I feel like in Rocky I, it's not her.
No, I don't think so.
All right, no, she's never in any Rockies. God, I thought she was for some reason.
I knew she was in the first Creed. Like,
yeah, yeah. I don't know why I assumed she was in Rocky. She was the wife in those, and that's why they brought her back. Anyway, yeah, she's good in the role. What do you think of Creed's wife?
She's okay,
yeah.
But like, there's a lot of focus on her,
right? Well, that's what it's going to be about. Like, I think Rocky's going to be gone, and because there was a lot of focus on Adrian in those first couple, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's the problem with it going forward: is at least so far, Adonis and God, I can't remember her name. That just says it all, right?
Right.
They're not anywhere near as interesting as Rocky and Adrian.
Right.
Like, to quote Stephanie McMahon, like, Adonis is kind of a petulant child a lot of the movie, right? Like,
yeah, so very much so.
Yeah. Like,
now they get the deaf kid.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, those were not the things that made – like, what made Rocky interesting and great is how flawed he was.
Right.
And, like, Adonis is flawed but not in the same – I don't want to say not in a dramatic way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm curious where the story goes if they keep telling it, because I mean, Rocky was also flawed as a result of the circumstances, right? Like, he's kind of dumb and stupid, so like, he doesn't see that the first Apollo Creed fight is setting up to be a joke. Like, he just trains for it, right? And then in 3, it's because he's the champ, he lets it get to his head. 4, it becomes personal. So it's all based on these circumstances. I'm curious as to where this could go with him. Like, is he just fighting for his deaf daughter? I don't know. They got to if they want this franchise to continue without Rocky, they have to find what the hook is for Adonis Creed to be as interesting.
Yeah, maybe he cheats on her.
Maybe. I don't know why, but.
Well, I'm just trying to think of something different, you know?
I need a wife that can hear me. I mean, really hear me. Yeah, right. And it's because, like, after we watched, I went to see Creed 2, and then Jackson was asking about Rocky, so we watched the first Rocky,
mm-hmm.
which he sat through, which I couldn't believe.
Wow.
But it's crazy watching how Rocky and Apollo Creed come to the ring in the first Rocky versus how Adonis Creed comes to the ring in the main event of Creed 2.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow, what a different production this is.
Yeah, it's just time. Yeah, my wife has never seen them, any of them. So when we complete construction of our new basement, and we're gonna have like a giant TV kind of setup, I think one of the first things I'm gonna make her do is like watch them all in order. So
yeah, well, are you gonna skip 5?
No, everything.
Yeah. So we have Rocky 3, 4 inverted, then Balboa up there. Now, you wouldn't have Creed 2 there, right? You'd have Rocky.
I think I'd have 1 and then Creed 2 and then Creed.
Creed 2 ahead of Creed, eh?
For enjoyment, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Only because I love the – I'm a mark for anything Russia, as most know.
Yeah.
So then Creed – all right, yeah. So 3, 4, Balboa 1, Creed 2, Creed 2, 5.
Yeah, and 2 is a great film. See, I think I would have both Creeds ahead of the original Rocky for enjoyment for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. But, like, by Creed, they got the formula, and it's just so visually – much more visually interesting.
True. But I like the grittiness of 1.
Yeah, I like it too.
Plus, plus 1 has Gazzo. Gazzo is awesome.
And Mick?
Yeah, Mick, obviously. And then
you gotta write down the.
Yeah, you get all the iconic stuff, right? That, I mean, that's got the real iconic stuff, right? The first time he runs up the library stair or the museum stairs, the punch in the meat, you know, drunk Paulie getting belligerent at Thanksgiving or whatever, Christmas, whatever it was. Yeah,
they had a turkey, right?
And I think they did have a turkey.
Yeah. Have you ever run those steps?
I did when we went to Philly for the Rumble this year.
See, did you? I went with my wife in 2012 to Philly, and we couldn't find parking. So, like, we just left the car in front of the stairs, yep. And I started running up them while she blasted Eye of the Tiger from the car. But there's a lot more stairs than I was anticipating.
It's a lot of stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, we took a bunch of pictures in front of the statue, and then there may be video or pictures. I think we ran up them. I had to. I had never done it. When we went to Philly for the last Rumble, we didn't get there. So I made sure this time I got to do it.
Yeah, if you're there and you're a fan of the movies, you got to do it, right?
Right. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Even doing the statue was cool. And then you get the one guy there trying to offer to take the pictures for you and trying to charge you money, which is turned down, obviously. Yeah, no, it's a cool experience, and they're great movies. I mean, is it your favorite series?
No. No. I mean, is it your? It's yours.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have Star Wars ahead of it. I'd have Lord of the Rings ahead of it.
See, it's funny because I like Star Wars, but I didn't grow up.
Right.
I didn't grow up Star Wars. Like, I didn't watch them growing up. I watched them later. You know what I mean? Like, and I wasn't, like, super, super into it. So I don't have, like, that emotional pull. Whereas Rocky, five I saw in the theater. I saw four, right. Like, around the same, you know, like, around when it came out.
What was the first one you saw?
I think four or three.
Yeah, me too.
Three or four.
It was next, and my tape store was next to the wrestling tapes.
Oh yeah, for sure. My cousin was real into it, so I remember seeing four, and then I think I watched the first three with him, and then I definitely saw five. We saw it on New Year's Eve. I remember 1990, I guess it would have been, right?
Yeah, around the time.
Let me see when it came out.
Would you have it ahead of Indiana Jones?
I'll tell you, that's another one I'm not like a diehard of. Like, I saw them as a kid and
90.
Yeah. And I saw the new one. So it came out November 16th, 90. So yeah, New Year's Eve into 91 is when I remember seeing that Rocky V. We went to Pizza Hut after. A very good memory.
See, I would say while it's not my favorite, I love them, but they're the only ones that are still coming out that I'm like, oh yeah. Like,
right.
You know, man, Star Wars, I'm still into Star Wars, but, you know, like, if they're making more Indiana Jones, I'm done. You know, like, I think I actually might like it more than Indiana Jones. I like Indiana Jones a lot, but.
Rocky, when Balboa came out, it came out the same year as The Wrestler.
Yeah.
And Biggie, the Notorious B.I.G. And I remember just like, oh my God, like, like, this is like the trifecta of my life. Like, you know, like The Wrestler, a new Rocky movie. Oh, no, so wait, The Wrestler was 08, right? So when was Rocky Balboa?
It was 06. It was the same year as Superman Returns, Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, so yeah, Rocky Balboa. No, yeah, 06. Okay, so it was Notorious. I think it was 06, maybe? Oh, no, that was 09. Okay, so yes, the new Rocky came out. I freaked out. And then, like, yeah, so like a year and a half later, they made The Wrestler and then a Biggie movie. So, like, those three all coming out was, like, mind-blowing for me. Like a mainstream wrestling movie, a movie about my favorite all-time rap artist, and then the return of my favorite like movie series.
See, Rocky would have been my favorite movie that year if not for another movie series, which I can't rate ahead of Rocky, but who I think had their best movie that year. You figure out what it is?
Good Burger.
And on some trivia?
Can I look at 2006 movies to guess?
No, don't look at anything.
The Da Vinci Code.
That's it. Good night, everyone.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
No. It's the long. It's by far the series that has the most movies.
Mission Impossible?
No. You're on the right track.
James Bond.
Yeah. That is, Casino Royale came out that year.
See, I'm not a Bond guy either.
Well, why? Is it because...
No, I just never watched them.
Oh, okay.
I don't care.
You haven't watched the new ones?
None. Look, I'm on record. If you want to go back and listen to Talk at Pop, I get into my issues with standalone action films. It's a problem, I have.
Well, I mean, like, I would give Casino Royale a look.
Okay.
If you wanted to jump on, like, you won't be able to watch the old ones because the new ones are just so fucking... But Casino Royale is just a really good film. Like,
we still got to do our... We had planned a topic for, like, movies you'll be shocked you've never seen. And
yeah,
I'm gonna blow you away with some of them, so we'll wait.
Yeah, we got caught up in this goddamn tag project.
We're back, baby.
We'll be talking 96. All right, let's go home. Hopefully everyone has a great holiday season, a happy new year. We love you. Be sure to join up on the 96 Project. Be sure to come to thebigelow34.proboards.com and check out all the shows on our feeds. And thank you so much for listening. Aaron, anything else you got?
Oh, man, Rocky V sucks.
Fuck yeah. Geeky face.
Let's get some Mary Poppins together.
Come around, safeguard your things. You better safeguard your money, safeguard your blings. You gotta safeguard your crib, safeguard your jeans. You gotta safeguard the stash and the car keys. You gotta listen up to what we talking about here. It was better when the Grinch was never coming around here. Time after time again. Never mind, he already took the liquor out your honey again. He already quick to try again. It's still a gift, another way and give you all a different style again. While you stacking and you trying to swell, you best believe Mr. Grinch scheming. Duke stay conniving. And yeah, he stay scheming when you thinking he not looking over your shoulder, peeping everything that you got.
Busta Rhymes, I will get you too.
Relax, Duke, you need to chill. Something wrong with you.
About one of the meanest cats I think I ever met in my life, man.
I want to give a shout out to the west side of Whoville.